You think I'm gonna fucking half-ass my way into like Thriller of all things?
And welcome to In-Game Chat for Thursday, August 19th, 2010. The Death and Resurrection episode. I'm Scott.
I'm James.
I'm Matt.
I'm RJ.
I'm Jeremy.
Did you say hi, Matt?
No. I'm Matt.
No, you didn't.
So when he listens back, he can say, hey!
Hey, me! How's it going? I'm kind of rednecky.
Of course, as always with every show, we go over your tweets, your emails, and your voicemails. But before we even get started, we talked about the Move and the Kinect. Before we got to any of your comments there, but lots going on there. We heard some more about them from Gamescom, that sort of thing, and of course the Move coming out very soon as well, so we'll have some answers to what's to our questions and our concerns and our thoughts, at least with one of those. Plants vs. Zombies hitting the Xbox 360 and having multiplayer along with it. Cataclysm from World of Warcraft and what to expect there and how it's probably a great time to be playing World of Warcraft right now. Monday Night Combat, which none of us have played, but you guys seem to have loved it. Where did the music go in our show? Well, it may have made a return. Pay to play on MMOs and what that means for one of our listeners who wrote in, specifically concerning DC Universe Online and about getting into that as on the PS3 side of things. Torchlight 2 with multiplayer and the wonderful interview that Immortal Machines had with Runic Games. Also, securing your save data for when you lose it on your 360 console. And I guess this, I don't know if that applies on the PS3 or not.
What do you mean?
Transferring and all that.
Losing it in transfer?
Yeah, because that's how he lost it, was moving it from one console to another through the memory card. But, an interesting idea, a brilliant idea of how to solve that problem on the 360 at least. A wonderful discussion comes from an email about franchises and bringing them back and getting rid of them. You'll enjoy that one. BioShock Infinite's discussed. Also, we have Kevin's Corner, Fallout New Vegas, and Mass Effect 2 on the PS3, plus games hitting in the future. Here we go over at the end of the show. Hope you enjoyed. If you want to get in on this, all you have to do is email us, everyone at ingamechat.net. You can hit us up on Twitter at ingamechat. Also, you can call us. It's Kevin's Corner, but we invite you to be a part of that. 201-7-IN-GAME is the number, 201-7-IN-GAME. So give us a call. Also, don't forget to check out the forums over at colonyofgamers.com and check us out over there as well. Anyway, enjoy the show.
How do you have so few things in your reader? You need more things that are related to video games in your reader. I mean, I'm not being shitty. I mean, like, you should, or do you just have them to not? What all do you have in there? Do you have ours?
No.
Okay, you're a bad person.
Yeah.
Yeah, really, I do mean that. Yeah. You're a bad podcast host. You need to have ours. Do you have RPS?
No, but I've been going to them more frequently lately.
You're not allowed to build a computer until you have RPS in your newsreader.
You do what?
I've been going to them.
Yeah, I know. I wasn't going to bring it up. Why do you go there?
Because it'll be linked in an article from somebody else, and I'll just go there and read it. Read the article.
Well, I mean, like, reading the article at the site is one thing. But like,
no, I know. That's what I'm saying. I've been going there.
Yeah, but I mean, you should have it in.
I'm not actually typing in their address and going there. I just click a link that takes me there.
Huh? Scott likes to visit their web zone.
Here you go. Here's what
for some pizza rolls.
Kind of proper list looks like. God, see, mine doesn't fit on the screen.
That fucking kills me. That right there, that you got like a thousand plus items, that ruins the OCD.
What is that, your BBC?
That's like,
that's what does it to me.
Destructoid and Kotaku do it.
Yeah. Oh, jeez, I had to take Destructoid out.
Because
the signal to noise ratio there was a little bit too low, but yeah, it did actually.
Because every day, like after a show, I wipe everything clean and start over for the week.
Really?
Yeah. Unless it's something that maybe I wanted to.
You mean like you get rid of your start items? That's what they're there for. What you do is you clean it out as you read it, and then if it's interesting, you star it. See that right there? See those?
Mm-hmm.
You click that motherfucker if it looks like you might.
Oh my god, it turned yellow.
Yeah. And then it's in this whole other fucking list. And then that's where you use that list. You don't like just keep it all, you know, together until the show. You clean the show.
Where did my star?
Huh?
Where did my star items go?
I don't know. What the fuck is wrong with you? Why is your Google Reader all stupid? Mine's fine.
How'd you break your Google Reader?
Where's my start item? It's like there used to be an option over here, start items. You click on it, and it also had a count of how many you had over there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Instead, you've got a thing of people you follow.
It popped up, man. I didn't fucking.
Yeah, you did.
Hey,
no. This is your fault. This is somehow your fault. It should be like mine's right under my old ass, man.
There it is.
Like, oh, this shit isn't important.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna use this.
I never fuck, man. I just go to it and read my shit. And if I add something, I add something. I never really fucked with the settings.
No. You totally need to like just fucking star some shit and then go look at your start items.
Right. Yeah. Put more shit in your subscriptions, and then like if you want to actually see everything, you know, hit all items. But sometimes you'll want to browse just the sites.
Yeah, I do just the sites usually.
Yeah, but you're still doing it wrong. This will make it much easier for you when we get to this point. You have to believe me. That's all there's to it. But I'm serious. I'm not building your PC until I see RPS in your feed.
You're not building my PC.
Do you somehow think you're going to do it without? I know you're not. I know you don't want to.
Don't think that if that shit's sitting in my house and I'm sitting there waiting that I won't get itchy fingers to be like...
I know you'll get itchy fingers, but I know you won't, you know. I'm pretty sure you wouldn't do anything about it. And I wouldn't blame you for being pissed but not doing anything about it.
Games industry biz is another pretty good one to have in there.
Man, I did star a lot of shit, Jesus Christ. What's the oldest thing I have starred? Bunch of Engadget shit.
Yeah, shit from 2.5 fucking years ago.
Yeah, from 08.
That's pretty cool.
Uh-oh.
Yeah?
PS3 piracy now a reality.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of fun.
Companies produce a USB-based full hacking solution for the PS3.
For like 10 minutes now.
Okay, I didn't know.
360 avatars are going to be redesigned.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Really?
Because of the Kinect. There's a...
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, like, to what degree?
To make it more realistic looking, isn't it?
What does that have to do with the Kinect?
Wait. Because... Oh, you want to say it?
Well, it says that they're going to be redesigned after users reported problems coordinating the original style with Kinect-enabled games. So in other
you
words,
have your avatar on screen. And
yeah, I didn't what you said. You said to look more realistic. And that doesn't fucking have anything to do with Kinect.
I think that's what they're doing. Instead of them being so short and just, you know, stylized, they're going to try and make them more proportional.
They're not short. They have big heads.
Yeah.
They're not like
big heads.
Huh?
Are they going to shrink my avatar head just so some assholes can play with their avatars on Kinect?
I think so.
Well, fuck them.
I can't,
I like my avatar.
Yeah, I can't really generate a whole lot of sympathy for the avatars. I mean, I don't hate them or anything, but I don't use them. You know, I haven't ever put any clothes on mine or done anything with it whatsoever. It's got the same everything that it did when I made it. So I have no investment in it whatsoever. And I mean, they're changing everything else about the public face of that fucking console because of Kinect. Why not this? I gotta tell you though, I can't wait till it comes out. To be quite honest with you.
Kinect?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't wait till they're both on the fucking market. and the speculation or the anger over the speculation is done with. Because it's just, I don't know. Nobody really has anywhere to stand at the moment. And anytime the discussion comes up, it inevitably devolves into a, I don't know. Regardless of what might actually be said, you know, I mean, as an example, I'm sure you saw it because it was cross-posted, but Ben Kuchera had an article on ours about, you know, and it was very specific. It's like, regardless of the fact that neither one of these things are necessarily aimed at the core audience, my opinion is...
Having played with both of them quite a bit.
My opinion is that the move, just in terms of the core audience, forget everything else.
Has more to offer to our kind of people.
It's got more to offer. And the discussion was really interesting to read, the pages of discussion, mm-hmm. because it ultimately devolved into, you know, accusations that he's just drinking a bunch of Kool-Aid. And he's like, no, but I've played them.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, well, you're just being an elitist prick and telling everybody how you've played a bunch of shit and you know better. It's like...
No, that's not...
I mean, it's his job, dude. Like, he's you know, there aren't a whole lot of people out there who have played them and are talking critically about them one way or the other. And he wasn't saying anything bad about Kinect. He just simply said, if you're the kind of guy who comes to, you know, ours and reads my articles about, you know, relatively, I guess what you could call hardcore stuff, then you're probably more likely to get something out of Move if you're interested in either one at all. That's really all he was saying.
Yeah.
And he did it kind of by way of detractions from the Kinect, you know? But, I mean, whatever that is, you could read that article, and it's a good read. It's a good piece of editorial, but the thing that I thought was really funny was there's what we know about each one right now, and that's not a lot, granted, but a lot of the, and I believe, I mean, I don't want to, I probably got some bias. I don't really plan to get either one, but
yeah,
I have to agree that I think the Move offers more. It's the one I would rather play with. I can tell you that.
I'm the same. I don't plan on getting either one, but if I did, I would get the Move.
Yeah, I mean, it's the one that looks more interesting. If they were both sitting in front of me, you know, if I was like, you know, if I was like in one of those group studies or something, and I was the dog, and they were putting like two types of food in front of me, like. That kind of thing, if it was just the two of them, I would...
Eat out of the Move bowl?
Yeah. That just looks more interesting to me, but whatever. I'm not... It's fine either way. But what I seem to see a lot of is people saying that the Kinect has a lot of promise, that there's a lot that could be done with it, that the potential is really there to do something new and inventive and amazing, while the Move is simply... copying with greater fidelity and at high definition resolutions what the Wii has already done. And it's like, well, what you say about the Move is quite true. But what you say about the Kinect is that's sort of fuzzier, you know? It's less tangible. You're talking about the potential to do some stuff and the, you know, if the faculties of the developers are brought to bear, really good developers are brought to bear on this thing, then something really amazing could be done.
And yeah.
I know that not everybody's saying that. And some people really want to, you know, dance with the dance game, and that's great for them. But there seems to be just an awful lot of intangible things being said about the Kinect and its defense. And those things don't really matter much to me, because we've lived a long time now with the potential of different devices. And I've defended a lot of things because of their potential. And I've...
been bitten on the ass.
Yeah, I've been ruined time and time again because the potential is never realized. So yeah. I'm not being cynical about it. I'm just saying that it's not a particularly good way to argue a position or to defend something.
I never liked it when the word potential in general is used anyway, because it just really breaks down to, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll just wait and see.
And I think it's a truth. I would have to agree. You could theoretically do something much more interesting, but...
I'd rather see an actuality.
Well, what I'd rather see is the thing with the amazing potential also... develop that into an actual an actual thing. So, I mean, granted, either way, like, on the other hand, some of the arguments for the move are, you know, the list of hardcore games that you can play that are getting move support patched in. And while that's kind of, I guess, okay, they're all games that I would instantly tell you I would rather play with the controller. Like, I don't want to play Killzone with this thing. Yeah. I want to do it just to, like, hey, that's cool. Isn't that a lot of fun? Now give me my fucking controller back kind of thing. But the only thing that absolutely has me locked into wanting to play it with the move is the Dead Space Extraction. But that's because it was already designed as a game, you know, for the Wii.
As a real gun.
Yeah, and we already played it, and we said, you know, this is actually pretty good. It was our own, some of our own failings and some of the game's failings that kept us from going on with it.
Yeah.
But it looks really attractive to me, and, you know, others, I think. So, I don't know, it's been very strange. And we said a couple shows back that I don't think either one of us, none of us are really backing any horse, and I don't really want to get into the argument until it's just all out, because I don't, even though I know that I have a personal preference for the move, having not had either one of them, you know, in front of me, I'm still basically talking as much about potential as anybody else. But I'm ready for them to be out. I'm ready for us to, like, see how these things are going to work in the environment. And not even just for this fall, but, like, I mean, next year to know, like, what's going to happen with either one of the goddamn things. The discussion is, it's a discussion, but it's just so. I don't think I've seen a single person involved who's not somehow biased in one way or the other.
Yeah.
Even myself. I mean, I know I am. I'm biased towards the move because it looks more like a thing that I would
be able to do some useful things with.
Yeah, and I just don't. And I've just generally been kind of disgusted with the way Microsoft has handled the press for the Kinect. And I know that, and it's just very strange, man. It's like,
well, there's a lot of weird shit hanging over it that nobody seems to want to or be able to answer, like playing while sitting down, or you know, how do you accelerate in this driving game or brake? Oh well, the game.
Well, and I think
you can't. We haven't figured out a way for you to do that yet.
And it's a good reason to read that article that Ben wrote, because those are the things that he talked about. You know, he said, like, it's just been kind of awkward trying to figure out how some stuff's going to work, and that question really hasn't been in existence with the move. So, but regardless, you know, it's like the bigger question to me seemed to be, is it even possible for any of us to talk about something in gaming that we don't already have an enormous bias toward in one way or the other? Like, somehow we've been trained that whatever it is, you have to be red or blue. You know what I mean? Everything, every concept, you have to already... None of us are impartial. The only things we're really impartial about are things that we just swear to God just do not give a shit about.
Apparently Kinect does work sitting down.
Yeah, but see, that's not... The problem with that is that, yes, it does work sitting down, but not for the same full range of gestures that it does standing up.
Right, no, only for at and least that's for why the dashboard navigation.
Yeah, no,
which
they said that, no.
Voice operated anyway.
A lot of it is, yeah. But they said a long time ago that was the case. The real question is, what's the difference between gesture recognition when sitting down or when standing up?
Mm-hmm.
That's been the big problem, is that you always come to these sticking points, and when journalists pose the question, and I'm talking about fans, I'm talking about the journalists, they ask the representatives or the marketing or PR guys, or if they're lucky enough to be with them, the developers, and they're usually presented with a, we don't know, we're working on that, we're going to find a way, we haven't quite figured that out yet, stuff like that, or more information in the future. It's like, yeah, it's just unsettling, so they say. That's all I'm saying. So, I don't know. And there still seem to be an awful lot of assumptions about what it's capable of doing. The types of gestures it's going to be able to... Like, a lot of the arguments for its cause seem to be about, you know, hand gesture type things, which I've never seen it really do. You know, it's all gross motor type stuff. I don't know. Again, more reason for it to just be out so we can actually know the fuck we stand with these things, or sit, as the case may be. It's just not. I don't think it's. It's not a pleasant argument. I don't want to ignore it, but it needs to be out. You know.
Yeah.
And Connect's November. Move is October.
September.
Even sooner. Jesus. Yeah. I wanted to say September. I thought, no, that's got to be too soon.
No, I'm pretty sure Move is.
You're right. No, I think it is September.
It's September. So. Yeah. You know, and the cost thing, that's always weird.
Yeah.
Because it depends on which metric you're using.
Mm-hmm.
Because the absolute lowest cost of entry is the Move. That's fucking factual.
Yeah.
And then the response is, well, but to get the same number of players as you can theoretically get in the Kinect, you have to spend more. And it's like, yes, but what if I don't want two Move controllers and two gesture controllers for my Move? Like, if we're just talking about the absolute, you know, lowest entry level thing, it is the Move. That's a fucking fact. I don't think you have to bring it up to the same level of compatibility as the, or player count or whatever is the, as the. I don't think you necessarily have to do that. You know, so they have a point. You know, if I have, like, if me and whoever else, you know, really wanted to play this, we're going to have to spend more money to get a Move.
Mm-hmm.
But that can also change based on whether or not we want the gesture controller, whether or not we already have a camera.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of different factors. So it's, again, how you argue it is really based a lot on your position and your point of view, which just leads to more argument. That's just the strangest fucking thing in the world.
Yeah, I mean, the future of the two devices seems pretty easy to predict to me. The Kinect is going to generate a lot more interest because of what it is, and because of the install base of the 360, it's already got a leg up right there on potential sales.
Plus, I think some of the cutesiness of the games will also attract, you know, some more people, like in the Kinectimals and stuff like that, than people that normally wouldn't attract like that.
I honestly don't know anything about, like, what they want to play or anything, but just based off what it is and, like, the position they are in the market, it's going to generate a lot more interest and be a more successful device. But I also agree with Ben, and, you know, we were saying the same thing back when we first saw this shit, that the Move does look like something that would be able to do something a little bit more interesting for guys like us.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's going to be the more successful device.
Well, think about another thing. Like, you'd have to be a fucking moron not to be able to market the Kinect.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, since marketing basically is lying. It's just like, I mean, that's all their presentation was a year ago. They had nothing to show for what they did. They showed a marketing video.
Yeah.
And everybody talked about how great it looked. And I was like, dude, there was literally nothing going on in that video. So, the things that it can theoretically do, where it just reads your movement, that's fucking great, dude. You'd have to be brain dead not to be able to market that to some level of success.
Mm-hmm.
Second, it's one thing. You buy this thing.
You don't have to think about what you're going to get before you pick it up.
There's no combination of shit.
Yeah.
There's not all of that. There's not all the consternation that you always saw, and, like, having worked in retail during a period of time when people were buying Wiis, like, yeah, the Wii is like $299 or whatever it was at the time. And isn't that great? Yeah, it's $299. Well, but if you want, you know, like, all your kids to play, you're going to have to buy this as well. And then you got to buy a second one of these, and you may as well, like, buy another one of these and, like, this other thing. And all of a sudden, the, you know, peripheral add-on, which was good for Nintendo, but you could see, like, you could see people kind of drifting away from, like, this real happy place of, oh, I just got to put some money down and buy the thing.
And that's it.
To a place where it's like, oh, now I'm collecting a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
And it mattered, you know, to some degree. It mattered to a lot of people. And the concept of just, like, hey, just buy this thing and you plug it into your shit, you know? Like, it'll work. That's how it'll be sold. People will really like to hear that. They'll like to hear it a lot. And regardless of what the absolute lowest level, you know, lowest price of entry is for the move, they're going to be told, well, you can't do this and this unless you buy this. And people don't like to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
So everything the Kinect will ever be capable of doing is already there. The fact that that stuff might not be particularly good is of very little consequence. I think the Move is exactly what a lot of people have said. It's a Me Too Wii device. But I don't personally think that's a bad thing. My problems with the Wii were
low fidelity.
Low fidelity, bad movement, you know, matching of however you want to describe that. Cutesy kitty, weird games that I wasn't interested in playing,
yeah.
Which you're still going to see a shit ton of on the Move. And standard def. That's it. Like, if the Wii had been high def, Wii Motion Plus level of recognition from day one.
Better games.
And a few other, you know, of what I would consider mainstream games. And I'm not trying to be classist, but yeah, I mean, everybody knows what we're saying. It's yeah. Like just a few more things that I would have been interested in. I don't think we would have started this slide towards shitting on it all the time. You know, we would have seen some better stuff. And if that's what Sony's doing, I think you could do worse than just copy that success and, or well, copy the effort and do something better. But I mean, see, this. I think what we're trying to do here is stay close to the middle because we honestly don't care. But again. Yeah. If I was going to ask for one or the other to materialize out of the clear blue sky for me to play with, it's pretty clear which one I would want.
Yeah. Any move,
fine, that's
any money I'm going to spend on gaming hardware will probably be towards PC stuff. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
not towards either device.
That's definitely a better idea.
Mm-hmm. I agree. That's why I'm doing it.
You know, if I still had my Wii around, I'd use it more for a GameCube than a Wii.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's fine. I mean, I'm so far beyond a place where any of that where matters.
You know, it plays older stuff, right? I know you like older stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what are we talking about?
His Wii.
Yeah, that's what he said. Yeah. He'd use it for a GameCube.
Yeah, but I'm saying it plays older stuff than GameCube games. So,
what do like you're talking about, like the VC?
Yeah.
Yeah, but see, that's kind of like newer stuff to him.
Oh, okay. It has been re-released?
Yeah.
All right, so on to tweets here. Gersnort tweets to us, says, the trailer for Plants vs. Zombies on 360 looks hot. I loved it on PC and didn't know I wanted multiplayer in it until now. Discuss.
I played a little bit on the PC and enjoyed it. I hadn't seen the trailer, though, and wasn't aware it had multiplayer in it.
I only played it on the iPhone. That's where I have it. So.
I haven't played it yet at all. I saw that it was...
Oh, really?
Yeah, I saw that it was for Mac and for PC, and I kept getting closer and closer to building my PC and stuff, and I was just like, no. Have your experience.
So you're going to get a... Are you interested in getting it?
Oh, yeah. Right. Over
either one. I'm asking where you're more interested in playing it, since you're on the cusp of having a PC.
Oh, well, I know that answer right now.
PC.
PC? Okay.
Yeah.
TV's there? Still dead.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be my answer for a lot of things. So yeah, I'm interested on.
Can we take your TV somewhere and shoot it? I watch like sometimes when I get bored, I watch YouTube videos of people shooting stuff. It's just kind of fun.
And your TV? God damn it!
What?
Every time I say I have to, and you keep going. But I'll have to check the trailer out, see how the multiplayer works.
Oh man, I guess that's not as interesting as shooting Scott's TV and YouTubing it.
I'm sure I won't be picking it up because I won't have anybody to play multiplayer with, but it could be interesting. So it was a fun little game.
Well, you can play zero interest in that game.
You can play with Gersnort because he's interested in it.
Yeah, it probably won't happen.
Now, did you ever have you played it at all, or just not something?
No, no, no. I don't play things I don't have any interest in. I mean, I'm not being totally snarky. Like no. The point is just like I look at it. You know, when I saw it on the PC, and I was like, "Man, I don't care." You know, so I don't. There being so many things in the world, I don't exactly go out of my way to try things that I don't give a shit about. Sometimes I'm very, very wrong. Like, I'm not saying that, you know, I don't care about that. It looks stupid. It is stupid. Fuck it. Like, I'm not saying that. I just look at it and I'm like, nope. Believe me, I could fill up absolutely every hour of both my free time and my work time playing lots and lots and lots of shit that I already own.
Yeah.
Not to say that I'm not going to keep getting more shit, but it just means that the shit I get has to interest me to some degree. And it doesn't at all. It's also a style of game that I'm not... have no interest in, you know? But that's... I don't mean to disparage it at all. Like, I think it's great for everybody else. I hate that they took out the Thriller Zombie.
Yeah.
That's sad.
I think I got everything I needed out of it when I originally played it, yeah. So... I don't think I would necessarily need to go back for multiplayer or anything else, so...
Iron Past writes in and says, late to the party, sure, but I at least wanted to see before and after Cataclysm. And it was only $30, so I believe he picked up the battle chest.
Yeah, he did. He picked up the battle chest.
And he wanted to see before and after.
Very interesting time to be playing that game right now. I haven't played for a minute. I dropped out of it. I just didn't have anything to do with anything. And then a couple of my friends jumped off to another server, so they asked me to... found a good group of people that are running like the small 10-man stuff, mm-hmm. and wanted me to come over and play with them. So I re-upped, pulled a couple characters over, and I'm going to, you know, play through. It's always a really fascinating time in that game in particular, right before an expansion pack. Always there's going to be new stuff. And he makes a good point, like the world itself is going to change.
Yeah,
so if you've never played it and you have any interest,
yeah.
This is the time to do it, because this is...
How much longer till that expansion hits?
We have no idea.
No idea?
Okay. My guess is November or December before the expansion pack goes live. They have said it needs at least a couple more months.
I don't have any interest in playing the game. My only interest is, you know... to go and travel and see that world before they destroy it, before it goes away.
I would... See, I know you tried playing it a long time ago, and I would say that it has changed. It's such a different type of game now. It's really nothing like it was before, that with the right group of people who don't even normally like MMOs could enjoy it. But it's got to be people you like. If not, then it's just another MMO. But of course, regardless, I think it's worth seeing. Because there will be no archiving of it. There might be video, there might be pictures, but you'll never go there again, ever. And, you know, it's not like every square inch is changing, but it's changing significantly. And it's already, I mean, to give you an idea, it's already changed quite a bit for people that have been playing since the beginning. The further back you go, obviously, the more changes there were. But I played a beta, and... it's so immensely different now that it becomes even difficult to remember what it was like. You know, whether it's a small quality of life issue or major, like, landscape changes. I just think this is fun because it's going to be like that for everybody. Even the majority of the people who play the game started playing in probably, like, 08, you know? So they'll all get to experience this whole... sundering of the game world, and we'll all kind of be in the same place where we all lost something together, you know. It's pretty cool, and it's got to be really interesting for the people who are making the game. I know a lot of them haven't been with the company since that time. A lot of those guys are gone, but regardless, they've been the caretakers, you know. They've been the stewards of this world for a really, really long time, and they're the people who are having to tear it apart and reimagine it. And whether it's, you know, whether it's rending an entire zone into different pieces, or you know, changing a quest, removing an NPC, or killing an NPC, or you know, story changes with the factions and things like this is a big deal. You know, it's a really big deal. It's a big game. But all of that aside, this is always an interesting time to play because it's. And I know I've said this before in exactly the same way, but. Like when you were in school, you know, like the last couple of weeks of school before the summer break, like maybe if you'd gotten all of your tests out of the way, your finals and all your stuff out of the way, like nothing fucking mattered. Like it doesn't matter. Shit's getting wiped clean in a few weeks. Like, why? There's no fucking homework. I just finished my finals. This is more. It's obviously more applicable to like college or something, where a lot of times those things get out of the way sooner.
Yeah.
But there's just this protracted period of time when nothing matters. You're finishing off personal stuff. You're doing some stuff with your friends. But people are either... And for a lot of people, that destroys the game. If there's no meaning, quote-unquote, to what I'm doing right now, then there's no point in doing it. And so it's almost like an entire personality type is removed from the game. Because they feel... And I think this is entirely wrong. But they feel that all of their hard work, say, for these very powerful pieces of gear and weapons and armor and stuff are about to be invalidated by stupid little cheesy quest items that any old asshole can pick up. Because those quest items are better and they're a higher level and, whatever. You're wrong. It's not invalidated. It was never valid to begin with. It was just some shit you had because it's fun to get loot and it makes it easier to get better loot. And you got it with your friends, and it was rare, and it dropped while you were there, and you won the roll, or you bought it with your DKP, or however the fuck you do your business. It's fun. So to like to anguish too much over the fact that it's all reset is kind of ridiculous to me, and I don't understand the type of mindset that's obsessed with it. And a lot of those guys go away.
Yeah.
So we have these like, and those guys and. They're not bad, but I'm saying like the fact that all of these personalities live together in this world define what the world is. And here at the end, in the last like couple of months, entire types of humans disappear from the landscape, and so it becomes a little eerie and a little bit strange. And in a world where everybody's been busy walking around looking like a goddamn badass, like a fucking demigod, they don't really care anymore because they've done everything. So now they're running like a low-level character to get that guy up, or they're doing a bunch of achievements, or they're quitting, they're playing their Xbox and stuff like that. It's just a very, very different place. And so for this very narrow period of time, it's kind of like you're in this weird dusk or twilight of the game, and you only get it for this little tiny period of time. The same way that the launch of a brand new MMO that nobody knows anything about and nobody has really explored is a very limited kind of time. And they're sort of precious because they can't
duplicate it.
You can't duplicate it and you can't keep it. You can't hold on to it and you can't drag it out and perpetuate it. Otherwise, you're back to, you know, the status quo. It's actually a terrific time to get into the game. Fantastic time to get into it. So... I'm glad he did. I would recommend it to anybody. It's, you know... And as with everything, you should find the right people.
I was going to say...
The right people make all the difference in the world.
Iron Pass, let us know what server you're on. Or at least let James know what server you're
on. Yeah, well, I mean, I can't go bouncing around to another server.
Well, maybe he hasn't signed up yet. I wonder... What's your server?
I'm on Stormrage.
Okay.
Just, you know...
I'll send him a tweet so he doesn't have to wait.
I'm Alliance on Stormrage.
All right.
Like, whatever. Horde's great and everything, but whatever. All my people are on Alliance, so I've been there forever.
Gersnort says, I'm not arachnophobic, but man, fuck that spider in Limbo.
I know. Bet you're arachnophobic now.
Yeah, speaking of...
Are you ordering that part?
I found out that my work is infested with Black Widow spiders.
That's
you shouldn't go to your work anymore.
Yeah, really.
You need an HEV suit.
Quit your job.
Yeah.
Iron Past writes back, says, you guys looking into Monday Night Combat? You should at least try the demo and give thoughts on that. Personally, I can't wait. I never tried the demo.
Me neither.
Never. Of course, I never had means to, but yeah.
And they're like Team Fortress 2.
It looked like it.
Yes.
It actually, seems to be a lot it, like
that. Gotten, what, Smash TV?
It's maybe. Kind of, I don't know. Never paid too much attention to it. Not even for lack of interest, just like, fuck, I'm busy. Look at all this other stuff I have to do. But yes, it generated a lot of discussion early on because stylistically, you know, what if you put Team Fortress 2 on a console? What would it look like? Turns out it would look like that.
I think I saw one little movie of it in action. I kept thinking of that Midway game, The Grid. If anyone was ever familiar with that.
What is that? I know that.
It was kind of like Smash TV in a 3D first-person perspective.
Okay. I can't. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I just don't recall it clearly.
Mm. How can it be like Team Fortress 2 and Smash TV at the same time? Mm. Those two things I'll say
Team Fortress 2 because of the different archetypes of characters you could pick up and the action in it, well, from what I perceived, was something like The Grid and Smash TV. Kind of like a mixture of the two.
Okay, so you could like got a...
Probably more like The Grid and Team Fortress 2 than I would say. So I'm not sure on The Grid, though, because I never played The Grid, but I know that, you know, you're fighting for money, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Hence the Smash TV. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Pulling that out of my ass.
I haven't... All I've seen are, like, some screenshots. I don't really have any concept of what the gameplay's like, so...
Yeah, I mean, I could be totally wrong on this, but my first gut... impression of seeing it was like I was thinking of The Grid. That's what I was thinking about.
And I never played that, so I have no idea. Mm-hmm. But I know what you're talking. I know what you're mm-hmm. you're talking about. I know the game you're talking about. I just remember either not being interested in it or not having time or something. I can't remember. Iron Past writes in, says, also Blacklight continues to be fun. It's still in the top 10 most played arcade games, and it's easy to just pick up for a few minutes. Have you played... Well, you didn't ever pick that up on the PC, or did you?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so. And Iron Past comes back and says, read the part about Monday Night Combat circumventing the certification process for rebalancing. This I thought was interesting. Basically, because you have to go through certification anytime you want to throw out a patch to your game, which takes for fucking ever, they found that Microsoft has storage space on the live servers for something they call TMS, Title Managed Storage. It's a place where you can put any file you want up there. So they put a text file with all their balance numbers up there. And when the game starts up, it overwrites the balance numbers with any numbers it pulls down off the TMS.
Cool.
But they found a bug in it that pretty much killed about 80% of what they did. But there's still a little bit there that they can do. It enables them to do things like double earnings nights, extra bacon nights, whatever that is, and some balance tweaks. Part of their second certification pack patch contained global knobs to tune the power of various things on the fly. If he was able to look at the numbers and find that snipers earn juice way too fast... He could make the change to the overall speed in which they do that, upload it to the TMS, and the next time everyone boots the game, they'll get the new number. He said, granted, if someone never boots the game and is always the host of their online sessions, they won't get the change, but that's going to be few and far between. So that's how they got around the process.
Cool. I know it's the sort of thing I should be interested in, but I don't really... have the funds to be buying any live arcade games for the next several months, so I've not really looked into it very much.
And I didn't. I was interested in the Lara Croft game that came out this week, but it's online co-op for, and I can't remember what the reason was for this, but their online co-op over Xbox Live won't be available until they patch it in like on middle of September, late September.
You mean right precisely at the moment it becomes available for?
PC.
For the PC and PS3?
Right.
Could that be a coincidence? Yeah. It's a little tough. I mean, I know it has couch co-op, but...
Yeah, it does.
But, like, I mean, that's kind of a big deal.
It is.
You know, like, if you and I wanted to play it and co-op it, you know. Well, which we can't do.
Yeah,
which I suppose for you, that would be better that it's got couch co-op.
I'd come over to your place this time.
I mean, it's a big, it is kind of a big deal. To say that now we're not including this at launch, like, you just automatically cut out a whole bunch of people.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, they're not going to buy your shit.
Even telling us that later it'll be in there, it's still like, well,
yeah,
no reason for me to pick it up now then. Yeah, I can wait.
Exactly. It's a thing. Regardless, I mean, for a lot of people, local co-op is superior. For a lot of them, it isn't. And there it be.
Iron Pass says, first ever early code has been gotten for Monday Night Combat and no one to play with.
Dun, 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 dun.
although he did say Blitz is cool alone. Yeah, I remember I saw he's on my other Twitter feed from a personal account, and I kept seeing him talking to Tycho, who was like giving away codes and codes and codes, and he right. apparently got one, which was awesome. Oh, yeah. Spigot sent a tweet for me. It says, this one's for Scott, and it's a photo of how the flux capacitor works.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I read the whole thing. Anyway, thank you for that, Spigot. I appreciate it. Gersnort says, Monday Night Combat is like a third-person shooter fucked a tower defense game, and the baby was a fun blonde. What are your thoughts? Again, we never played it, but I like your description. Oh, that's not working. We had some direct messages that were sent to us.
Oh, I see.
Spigot said that he just finished up Red Dead Redemption, and I almost 100% disagree with Jeremy's feelings on everything from Mexico to the final credits. He says he adored it.
I have to finish that shit at some point, so yeah. I can figure out how I feel about it.
He said he actually enjoyed Mexico, but he says, I played it with big breaks between play sessions, and it didn't wear on me, and he loved the end.
Yeah, maybe I'll feel a bit better about it when I go back to it. I don't know.
I think I tweeted to him and said that, you know, I didn't have a problem with Mexico nearly as much as, you know, the rest of you guys, but I just felt that Blackwater was just too short. We needed to spend more time there than what you did, because you're just there for just a short amount of time, then you're...
Yeah. Right.
Doing other things.
I was fine not being there long because I was ready to be done.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fine. I expected other people to like it, but... No, I meant it wasn't for me. I did not enjoy anything after that point.
All right, on to the emails. We got a lot of those. Brad Smith writes in. Well, Sean... dear Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, now the show itself wasn't great, but the Pink Ranger was hot, I tell thee. Just thought I'd drop you guys a line. Too tired to think of anything game related to write about, so the next best thing is to critique the podcast itself. James, I know you feel me on the whole critiquing thing. Now, not sure if anyone else has already brought this up, but I was wondering why you guys no longer play any music for the intro and outro of the show. I always felt that the music helped set the mood and tone of the episode in question. I don't know what kind of mood you got. I don't know any music that could set a mood or tone for a show.
What's wrong with you?
What?
You don't know of any music that could set a mood or tone for a show?
For our show.
No, I agree with him completely. I love the music.
I did too.
It was great.
Yeah. It was just pain in the ass.
Yeah, we're lazy fucks.
Well, I mean, but it wasn't just lazy. Like it was hard.
It is
to find like
new and different
because it couldn't just be any music. It had to be somehow related to what the fuck was going on.
Yeah.
And after doing it for so long, eventually it just got.
It was one more thing to do on top of
all the other shit.
On top of like converting the show and uploading the show and editing the show and posting the show and distributing the show and like writing up the write up of the show and then like archiving some shit. It just became yet another thing.
Eventually we decided to cut it in the interest of getting the show out sooner.
Yeah. And so we got into this whole like cold open kind of thing because it was just like it was a style choice that we did.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it just became a thing. Like I always thought it was great. And I don't understand. What the fuck, dude?
I don't have a problem with
the music. I know, but like you have like. Here's my point. This is a show about video games, And there's like a metric fuck ton of video game type music out there,
right,
which would perfectly set the tone for our show. How you could not imagine a piece of music that wouldn't set, you know, that would not be perfect for the show. Like, let me give you an example. When we were talking about Resident Evil, when we had the, like, whatever that song is that, like, is by apparently somebody I don't listen to, The Move Bitch.
Yeah.
No!
That's a perfect example of how you choose music for right. your show.
Yeah.
Not just, like, some popular shit that everybody really loves, because I do kind of hate that.
Yeah.
Like, it's either got to be game-related or relevant or something to our show,
mm-hmm.
germane to the discussion. And that was like the, that was at our
the insistence. Exact opposite of how we pick titles for the show.
Yeah, and that just became really tough because, you know, maybe our interests weren't broad enough, or modern or relevant enough or something, or we didn't have the right thing at hand, and it just became yet another thing we all kind of wanted to think about together.
Yeah,
which meant staying together later and later in the
right.
evening.
So it just and one of the things we always have to think about before we leave and wrap up is, well, what's the name of this episode going
to
be?
Yeah.
And it used to be, what's the name and what's the music?
What's the name and what's the music?
And it just, it just became a thing, you know, that's all. I agree with you. It was very good, and I liked it quite a bit.
He says, I didn't always recognize the musical piece, but I always appreciated its inclusion. The infamous and Mirror's Edge episodes immediately come to mind. No idea what we used for those. I'd have to go back.
Probably Infamous and Mirror's
Edge. Probably the game music.
Yeah. We did that a lot when we were talking about
it. Which is a great way to do it, actually. Yeah. I mean, I agree. It just
I would love to see the music come back, and it's I guess it's not completely out of the question now that James is doing all the editing of the show.
Yeah.
And I don't have a hand in that anymore. Maybe I could handle...
Yeah, I was going to say, we just have to...
Picking the music out and getting it to you before you start the editing.
The real thing is, like, you don't even have to get it to me before I start.
Yeah.
You just give it to me at the last minute and plug it in. Right. It doesn't take any number of thing, you know? The real question was, we all just agreed that we had to agree on the music.
Yeah.
And so really what you have to do to get anything done is you have to agree that something's going to be unilateral. Somebody's just going to make a decision.
Yeah.
And that's all there is to it.
These days, a motherfucker can't even finish a full sentence before the podcast is cutting out. Why such an abrupt end to the proceedings?
Did you cut us out, like, in the mid-sentence? On one of our
previous... Do you know what happens if I don't do that?
We just ramble?
It's not like we stop talking when the mics are off. Like, it would just keep going.
I remember, like, it always being like, all right, you know, that's it.
Yeah, bye. But then you something... Know, like, I mean, we do that a lot.
Okay.
Really, it's kind of like... It's like taking that last breath of air out of your scuba tank or something.
I need to listen to our show after
One minute you have a whole breath, and then the next minute it's like, no, I'm done. We'll be in the middle of a thought, and it's like, nope, I'm done. Never mind. I'm hungry, and I'm tired, and my ass hurts.
Okay.
I'm going to go. Just keep... Seriously, 90 minutes from now, keep that thought in your head. That's exactly where you'll be.
Yeah. Anyway, Sean says, bring the damn music back. Please, thank you, peace out.
We'll look into it.
Yeah, we might try to do that. Yeah, I agree with you. It was fine. It's perfectly fine.
Our next email came from Nabokov. I issue a challenge to Nabokov to take his email that he sent us and
Jesus Christ, man.
That's not like new or anything. He does this all the time.
Yeah, I know. My challenge to him, though, and hopefully he will accept, condense that. Condense what you sent us... Into a few of your questions.
You got some
bolded stuff here.
I see. Yes, I understand now.
So yeah, lots of stuff in there, and you know, I would love to kind of cover it all, but just compress that down a little bit.
Well, here's the thing, though. Like, you could go through that stuff in the week ahead, and actually, you know. If you want a hand in something, you know, you could condense the emails yourself. That's how real people on real shows do it. Yeah, I know, it sucks. Editing the show sucks.
You mean
sucks.
He's got to prepare for the show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Condense your email.
Regardless of how short the emails are, it would still make reading them better. See, do you guys see what happens here? This is the kind of shit we have to put up with. I'm clearly, like, laying out in the open. Here's something that would make the show better. And Scott's like, nah, fuck it. That's what's happening here. So, I just want you to think about that.
I'm condensing this email. Hang on a second.
You can't do that on the fly.
Josh writes into us, says, "Dear in-game chat, I can't even say the name of our own fucking show. Fubar Jackson here, and I'm a film art grad. After your discussion about Roger Ebert saying video games isn't art got me thinking. Now, I can't say I know more than Mr. Ebert about film and film history, but after 5 years of film school and art history classes, maybe we shouldn't be even trying to compare video games to movies."
I think you're on the right track there. That's the real answer. You have struck on the real thing that a lot of people are starting to agree with.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was kind of fun to have the argument there for a minute, but it's fruitless, I guess.
The way we should look at video games as a fine painting on the wall. Hell, art that was no more than a shitty screensaver by even 1995 standards were in art galleries in the early 80s. If you look at 2D animation as just a cartoon but not a handcrafted piece of art, then yeah, go ahead and say video games are pieces of media trash. Once video games get their script writing down to an art like films have, I think people will think differently in maybe 5 years. But, you know, I still know painters that think photography isn't an art. Haters gonna hate. In the end, video games are art, but maybe not in the media of film, should we put it side by side. Thanks for the great show, and keep up the great work.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
Yeah.
It's been true for... He's right that it's been true for everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Every other medium, as it's come along, isn't supposedly as sophisticated as what came before it.
Yeah.
That's pretty silly.
Kelvin McBride writes in and says, "Hey, IGC crew, you can call me Creed." Well, hey, Creed. Let's talk DC Universe Online and a bit of a conundrum I find myself in with this upcoming game. I welcome feedback on this from all of you guys, but I expect that James, the resident MMO man, may be able to give me some sage advice here. I'm a big console guy. I have a 360, PS3, and Wii. I've never played an MMO mainly because I despise the idea of a monthly fee. But I'm also a huge comic hero fan. Love the DC animated stuff and own DVD sets of Batman the Animated Series, Batman Beyond, The Batman, Justice League, it goes on. The whole Bruce Timm stuff. With all that said, I was really hyped initially for DC Universe Online when I read somewhere on the web early on that it was going to be free to play and on the PS3. Then came E3 and the announcement of a $15 a month fee. I was seething with anger upon hearing this and wrote it off my list of must-have games. But then I saw that damn Blur-produced trailer, and I know it's not gameplay, but damn, the thing really got my digital dick rock hard. So now I'm at the conundrum of, should I suck it up and cave on my conviction of avoiding pay-to-play MMO games, or should I stand my ground and hope that the pay-to-play fails and it eventually goes free-to-play? My perfect world idea would be for Sony to say that PlayStation Plus members play for free. I would sign up for Plus immediately and wouldn't feel that I totally caved in, because I would at least be getting more value than just ability to play that one game. I don't know, guys. Help. What do you guys think about this?
I actually replied to him about on that one, just, you know, saying my two cents on the subject that, you know, yeah, paying extra money for playing, you know, whatever, suck it up, because in a perfect world, you know, the people who own the servers, they still need to have maintenance, they still need to have server time and stuff like that, and they should be compensated, you know, I think monetarily for allowing us to do that. And hopefully it might even distract or detract, you know, some of the rampant fucktards that are out there on just multiplayer games. You know, if you're paying money to play it, you know, maybe you won't be so much of a jerk. I know there's still a lot, you know, there's still jerks in, well, you know, World of Warcraft or any MMO, but...
Oh, yeah, there's a couple.
Yeah, just a few. But, I mean, maybe it won't be quite like listening to, you know, open mic chat in, you know, Call of Duty, which is unbearable. So, and if nothing else, you know, just, you could always cancel it. Just try it out for a little bit, say, you know what, this isn't for me, and just cancel it. So I said, you know, give it a shot.
Before I say my bit, what do you guys think? What would you say to him?
Well, let's see. You got a... I sort of get the not wanting to pay, you know, a monthly fee to play your game, but you do get more than just than just a static game experience with an MMO. I mean, there's an awful lot of updates and shit that goes on over the course of a game's life. Like, you're not just paying for access to the game, but you're paying so that the developers can continue to develop and add content to the game.
Mm-hmm.
The game it starts off at as at launch, it's not going to be the same game a year from now or 2 years from now. So there's that perspective on it. Also, like, just from having played some MMOs myself, and I'm not super enamored with MMOs, but to me the most worthwhile part of an MMO is when it first launches and getting in on and being part of that new world feeling and smell that it's got, running around and the discovery that's going on. If you start playing, like say it does become free to play at some point in the indefinite future, you're getting in on an established thing where everybody already knows what's going on, and you're just kind of new to it and figuring out how things work. But being a part of everyone figuring out how things work and everyone running around with eyes wide open and jaws agape and, oh my God, have you seen this thing around this next corner? Come over here. It's brilliant. It's something you can only get for a very short time, and I highly recommend the experience if you're wanting to be part of an MMO thing. So that's my take on it.
What do you think, Scott? What would you say?
Well, I like Matt's idea with going with, trying it. The problem with that is, you know, first off, you'll get a free month, but you've got to pay $50 for that free month.
Yeah.
I would guess that most MMOs do that. Your first month's free, that sort of thing, before you have to plop down the 15. But if he likes it, or if he doesn't like it, you know, he's out that 15 or that $50. It's tough. I was really interested in this game, but the more I saw of it, the more I was like, ah, it's City of Heroes again. And I know where that went, and I know what that became. And I don't know. I'm on the fence with him as well, because I don't know that I want to get into it as well. The entry fee is $50. You know, and then if you want to keep going, it's going to be $15 a month to do that. And that's hard to say. I suppose, and I don't know if this will be available, or I'm sure it will, but maybe you could do a rental. Do you think something like this would be up for?
Oh God, no. No, this stuff is always account bound. Mm-hmm. The physical disc, the physical copy of these
doesn't matter
for fuck.
Okay.
You're buying an account, essentially.
Yeah. When you buy an MMO, some people are real sticks in the mud and like really want you to install it off of a fucking disc or something. But that's nothing to do with anything, man. What you're buying is a key. You're buying usually like a 16 or 20 digit key that you use to attach to an account, and that's it. That's all you're buying. And sometimes that can feel a little bit worse. But when Cataclysm launches this fall, I'm going to go and I'm going to stand in line at midnight and I'm going to buy a box with a bunch of fucking shit in it. Fucking paper and fucking plastic.
Are you gonna buy the box that has a lot of fucking shit in it?
Oh man, okay. Fuck that. No.
I didn't know.
I don't need a pet that I don't know. They don't give me anything that I need, you know.
Okay.
But it's the, you know, whatever. And the only reason I'm doing that is because their own particular method for digital distribution is a little slower. They lag behind retail a little bit. That's like what they did for StarCraft.
Okay.
The DD for StarCraft 2 was, I think,
that was really weird. Yeah,
it was like 12 hours behind.
Yeah, it was.
The earliest possible thing you could get it, time you could get it.
Interesting.
At retail, so. And it's a stupid little ritual. It's a goofy, funny little thing. But I really do like getting those things at midnight and rushing home and like exploring the brand new blown open world with everybody else. It's a big joy for me. But no, I'm sorry, I don't mean to jump in on your shit. But
yeah.
No, you cannot rent it. It is absolutely an account-based thing. It is as immaterial as you can make a purchase.
I guess so. I mean, he's going from the console end of things. He's only playing it. He only wants to play it on the PS3.
Yeah, I mean, at which point, like, I'm assuming he's still going to have to like stick the disc in. But as far as payment and monetization goes, it's all about the account. It's not about the disc. So he could go. Even if he could go rent the disc, it doesn't get him anything.
You know how Cerberus Network worked on Mass Effect 2,
right?
It's essentially the same thing for the entire game. You know, it comes with a key. You put that key in. It's tied to your account. That key doesn't transfer if you transfer the game. You're not going to get it by renting it. You're not going to get it by buying it pre-op.
Gotcha.
So there is no used market for
the fact that it's on a console modes. Means nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not really. Not in terms of ownership of the thing. So.
All right. So then, yeah, your entry fee is $50 to $60. Just to see if you would like something like this. So, man, I don't know what to tell you. I say wait and see more of it. Look at more of it. I mean, I know you're turned on by that Blur video. I loved it too.
It was a good video.
But
I don't even know the one you're talking about.
It's basically the opening cinematic for the game.
I will have to make sure somebody remembers to show me that after the show.
Yeah, I enjoyed it too, but I saw gameplay footage. Not in that video, but I've seen gameplay footage, I guess, from Gamescom this week, maybe. That really kind of turned me on the game. So
turned you which way?
Against it.
Really?
Yeah. Because it was all of a sudden, I was like, that's City of Heroes all over again. And I enjoyed that.
I want to add a caveat here. The reason Scott's doing that is because Scott killed himself on City of Heroes.
I did. I really did.
And everybody fucking begged you not to do it. Just like other certain recent behaviors. I fucking know what I'm talking about when it comes to MMOs, and I fucking told you how to play an MMO and not kill yourself. You didn't listen to me. You gorged yourself on it until your fucking guts exploded. And then now, 2,000 years later, you're still essentially blaming City of Heroes for what it did. Its fucking job. Like, and you're not, because you're not this thoughtless. But it's that line of thinking that leads people to say stupid shit like how WoW is evil and destroys your life. No, it doesn't. It doesn't destroy your life any more than anything else destroys your life. You destroy your life because you can't control yourself. It's that simple. And you can ruin yourself on something. But for him, he didn't do that in City of Heroes. So don't try to outguess whether or not he's going to have fun with this. Because I don't think that's the question he's asking. And I still think you need to play another MMO because you need to cleanse that bad experience from your fucking memory. You really do.
But anyway, that's what I think. So.
All right, your first 2 months in City of Heroes. Was it worth it? Was it worth buying the game for $50 and paying $15 a month?
Yes.
Okay. I think that's what he's asking.
You remember how much fucking fun you had with that shit?
Yeah.
Remember where you were on that? I mean, that shit was fucking amazing.
That's what he wants to know.
That's who he is right now. So, what do you think?
Oh, you've been in this place as much as anybody else. I have no issue with pay to play unless I'm getting a value out of it. And the value comes from having fun with the game and playing with people that I know online.
Yeah.
When we were all together playing City of Heroes, you know, I really had no issues with $15 a month.
How fucking brilliant was that?
I didn't even think about it.
Can you think of something where anything like that occurred in any other arena of gameplay? Like, it's not like we had the option to do that thing in any other game. Mm-hmm. It was the only place you could have done what we did.
Yeah. But, I mean, when eventually it's going to get to the point where, you know, you get tired of it, or maybe fantasies come up and things just happen in life and you just want to get rid of it. But, like I said, if you get all the value from those $15 a month, having the fun on the game and playing with others, you know, you won't have a problem with it at all. And DC Online is your bag, then I'd probably see you playing it and not having an issue with it.
Yeah.
That's another thing, though. Like, if you have any friends that you know are going to be playing this shit, that makes it double worthwhile.
Yeah. Yeah.
I see. In my case, I've only had two MMOs like that. It was City of Heroes and Phantasy Star Universe.
Well,
when friends stop playing it, you know, stop playing the game. I mean, you can stop it at any time.
And you can also pick it back up at any time.
Yeah, that's true.
And you will not... Here's the way I choose to talk about it. And I'm basically, to some degree, going to be echoing these guys. First off, it sounds to me like, and I hope you will listen to what I have to say here. It sounds to me like you're up against an issue of perception that, and a lot of people have this, like I'll be goddamned if I'm going to pay to play my own video game. Well, MMOs aren't like that. They are. To examine an MMO with that idea in mind is to do the game and yourself a disservice. Just like these guys said, when you pay $15 a month, you're not paying for a static game world. You're paying A, for a game world that can provide you with an environment, both in terms of like conceived scale and size and openness and open-endedness that simply is not possible in some sort of prepackaged thing that's only expanded upon by the occasional DLC. Sometimes you'll get something like Oblivion, which is just an enormously large game that you can play in by yourself. But that's perfectly fine. But an MMO is by its very nature the kind of thing that almost can't be done without a fee. The free-to-play model is gaining a lot of support, and it's being applied to a lot of previous subscription-based things. There are problems with looking at that free-to-play model as being superior, though, because if you examine almost all of them, you realize that a lot of people who are still quite serious about the game, who truly love the game, still opt for the subscription-based model. A, so they don't have to be playing with the free-to-play people who, like Matt said, inelegantly, but he makes the point that the point isn't that there aren't jerks. The point is that people who are paying for it have at least the minimum investment in the world. Mm-hmm. And it may not amount to much because it might be mom's credit card. But the fact of the matter is how they feel about the world and how they choose to interact with it is usually a little bit different than the free-to-play thing. There's anomalies, of course, like Guild Wars, but Guild Wars is absolutely the exception to the rule, and you simply cannot expect other things to adhere to that rule or match it at all. It's a bit strange. But what you buy with 15 is the continuous, ceaseless development of that world, usually to its betterment, sometimes to its detriment, but you will never go for any significant period of time without something new happening, and there will always be the sense that this world itself is alive. Even in something that's as much of a flaming turd as APB, that thing's still not dead, you know. And it's got a very weird model going around it. But those guys are still, to whatever degree they even have employees anymore, are still working their asses off to try to make improvements to it. The idea that you're paying $15 for access just isn't true. And I know that it's a tough hurdle to get past, but it is entirely perceptual. That $15 a month isn't just going to line the pockets of some fat cat who's going to, you know, use your money to light his cigars. It's not what's happening. It will always go both to the maintenance of an extraordinarily large system and to the further improvement of that system. This is one of the reasons why you don't see this kind of thing happening with single-player games, because they don't generate money in exactly the same way. So it's difficult, even with DLC teams, to maintain patches and improvements over a significant amount of time, much less to keep the thing growing and maturing and evolving. And that's, even in the relatively short period of time that you played City of Heroes, like that we all played, we saw an enormous amount of production and increase.
Yeah.
And yeah, for we have, it was all, how many issues have they released?
They're up to 14.
14, 15, yeah. Every single one of them was free. And that's the standard model now. The old model used to be, the old EverQuest model used to be the release an expansion pack and price for each expansion pack. And the price was not huge. And they still do that, and whatever, it works for them.
And they released Villains, but that wasn't a free...
No, it was a little bit different.
Villains was almost like another MMO.
Yeah.
It was, although it became free.
Yes.
It has now become free whenever you purchase that. Now, and, I think... Going Rogue is their new
paid expansion. Yeah, free is obviously, again, free is not really free because the cost is folded into your $15 a month fee. But you begin, like, if you think about it like this, you can begin to see it as an entirely different ecology. So at least when looking at it, you should look with different eyes and see it as something else. Don't apply the same rules to it, and don't think that you're being had or bent over a barrel for the $15 a month. Because let me just pitch this idea to you: if you buy this game and if you dig this game and if you are into this game and love it as much as it sounds like you would, think about it. People don't usually get tired of MMOs after 40 hours of gameplay. This isn't a single player game. MMOs are designed with the long game, quite literally, in mind. They're designed with the weeks and the months and the years down the road. So you are going to put hundreds, maybe thousands of hours into this game. And in the long run, you will have spent a lot of money there. But if it's something that you really like and you can put a lot of time into, especially with people you enjoy playing with, mm-hmm. whether you know them in real life or not, you'll find that you've actually gotten an enormous amount of game time for very little money. $15 a month is a pittance for a game you really enjoy. It's nothing. I mean, you piss $15 a month or that same $15 away on Limbo. A fantastic experience, sure, but...
Last your 5 hours.
How much of it? Yeah. 5 hours? And I'm not criticizing you for that, but it's a matter of perspective. That's all it is.
And I know we've all played a lot more for games that, you know, we didn't like and really bad.
It's
bad
just,
investment.
Don't do yourself the disservice. If it's something that you really want to play, I can't say that the game's going to be fantastic. It may come out and be a train wreck, but I think throwing your lot in with a brand new MMO, not knowing whether it's going to be a full-on success or a train wreck, it's a huge gamble, but there's a lot to be said for it. And I mean a lot. And like Jeremy says, being a plank owner, maybe being there day one, mm-hmm. is its own reward. Two, if you don't like it in that first month and you're likely to figure out whether you like it in that first month, you're sure to have gotten somewhere above 30 or 40 hours of gameplay, which... Right. Could easily be what you would have spent on something else. And C, to have been one of those guys that was there on launch day 5 years from now or even a couple of years from now when it's gotten super popular and everybody's joined in on it, that's kind of fun. There's a certain thing to be gained from being that guy or one of those guys.
In this case, I think the payoff is well worth the risk.
Yeah, I would absolutely recommend you do it. And like I said, I can't say it'll be a success, but... I totally, totally think you should do it. I'm more likely to... If there's anything about MMOs that I would bitch about, it isn't the $15 a month. It's the fucking box cost. Like, don't charge me $50. Don't give me a free month. Like, split the difference there. Don't sell me a disc.
Mm-hmm.
Sell me your download. Like, you know, move a little bit more toward the model that Eve has evolved into, where it's just like they sell you the download code and then they just start charging you and doing your thing. Like, don't... You know that you're making all of your money off of the fee. They're just trying to recoup a little bit of the development and publishing costs up front. So. But that's the thing where I think the MMO market fails. Man, don't sell me a fucking box. You know, unless you're Guild Wars, which only Guild Wars is. Mm-hmm. So... And yes, this thing may wind up going the free-to-play model down the road, but those things can be implemented in many, many different ways and not all to the betterment of the game. I mean, like, the Lord of the Rings one is going on now, and by all reports, it's working really, really well because it's using the Dungeons & Dragons Online as a guide. But there are a lot of people there who are still going to maintain their subscriptions, which keeps them playing the game the way they always have, because for them, that's a better road to go down. And they're always going to get their money out of you, one way or the other. Just because it's free to play doesn't mean you're not paying.
You end up paying something to get something.
Yeah, I'm still a big champion of the standard MMO model, just because it's understood and it works. And if you can at least make it to launch without losing your fucking shirt, you know, a la Real Time Worlds, like, you stand a good chance of being able to bring something interesting to people that are interested in playing it. So, yeah. Full steam ahead, I say.
Let us know what you do.
Please. I'm always interested in it.
Yeah. Ravenlock writes in and says, "Hey guys, I know several of your listeners will have seen it on the COG front page, but since not everybody hits our website on a regular basis, I wanted to let you and your audience know that we did another interview over on Immortal Machines with Runic Games about the just-announced Torchlight 2. In addition to just being really fun people to talk to, they gave us some good juicy bites of info about the stuff they're improving for the sequel. Also, we had both Schaefer brothers in the interview. Double Schaefer, what does it mean? since you guys, James in particular, seem to be fans of the first interview last year and, of course, Torchlight itself, I thought I'd pass that along. Unrelated to that, James, I'm not sure the world can handle a Vizzini reference. Internet debates really are like that, aren't they? And a Harryhausen reference in a single episode, but I love it. You do obscure but hilariously accurate comparisons better than anyone else I know.
I appreciate that.
Happy casting, Ravenlock.
I did like the Harryhausen reference.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. I just make it up as I go along, which is why it's better sometimes than others.
Chris Wilson. Okay, don't go into this. Okay.
Well, you're supposed to stop.
He just asked you to mention the Torchlight 2 interview. Now you have to
mention
the Torchlight 2.
Now we have to talk, but I wanted to talk about that because there's Torchlight 2 information, you know, and like we sort of talk about those things.
So go.
Yeah. Well, have you listened to any of it?
No.
Is anybody like particularly, I don't want to say I'm irked, but like I feel bad because Torchlight caught like too much shit for not having co-op. I think people confuse themselves. They're thinking co-op is worth more than it is. And I know we hear an awful lot about it lately, but like, man, fuck that. Torchlight was great. Like, how come Torchlight gets shat on for not having co-op? Even though I know you love playing co-op in that kind of game.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like that kind of game is unplayable as a single-player game.
I was going to say, it did very well, even though it may
It was a really good game, that's why. And it was cheap over and over and over again.
I didn't get super far into it. I only quit playing because of, you know, things completely unrelated to the game.
And it maybe but it was a little repetitious after a while.
But it was super fun.
For the amount of money, it was charming. It was playable as hell. It was really, really high production values. And we all knew that it was a stepping stone to bigger things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we expected two, but man, whatever.
I don't think they expected two.
Yeah, but the fact that in sort of a tongue-in-cheek way, they've advertised two as... No, seriously, co-op. No, like for fucking real, co-op this time. Because you wouldn't fucking shut up about it last time. And our asses hurt from all the internet reaming we took because we didn't include fucking co-op in a video game. So here, co-op. So I just thought it was interesting that aside from everything else, they're sort of not forced to, but really they just had kind of no good option other than to lead with the co-op foot, you know? Yeah. And they managed to do it intelligently. And yes, it actually looks like it will make the game better. It's just, it's not like it's a difference between a shitty game and a great game. It's an already really great game that's now going to have co-op. So, I thought that was good, and I really, really liked seeing the first trailer for it. It excited me an awful lot. Better variation in the environment. Like those are things that are answers to real criticisms from the first game.
Yeah.
So, I'm extremely excited about it, and I am glad. And this time, I'm assuming they deliver it at the same price point they did the other. Like, okay. Like, for every single person that said the game looks brilliant, but it's fucked because it doesn't have co-op. All right. Put your money where your mouth is.
What's the release date on that?
It's first of next year. February, okay. I believe, is the release date. Which is good. Which, you know. At two? Really?
Yeah.
Are we trying to turn February into a black hole again?
I think so. Because I know between Torchlight 2 and the other sequel coming out, I know which one I'm definitely picking up.
What other sequel?
In February?
Yeah,
Portal 2.
Between Torchlight 2 and Portal 2, you know which one you're picking up?
Is that a choice? You can only get one?
Well, until, you know, I get more money, probably.
It's February. There'll be plenty of money in February. What the fuck is wrong with you? Why don't you, I don't know, plan ahead.
But, I mean, I am more eagerly excited about, obviously, Portal 2 than Torchlight 2. Torchlight I enjoyed. I, you know, played through it. Not all the way through, but, you know, I had a good time. But,
yeah.
Since they just announced...
It doesn't have anything to do with anything. The fact that Portal 2 is coming out there. I mean, it'd probably do better somewhere else, but whatever.
I did see that they had recast the companion.
AI. Yeah, I watched the video with the new dub.
I haven't seen that yet. What'd you think?
Yeah, it was like 10 minutes of shit out of a Gamescom. About half of it was shit we've already seen before.
Yeah,
negotiating like some of the different.
Is it fine?
Oh, the voice?
Yeah.
I guess. It actually seems to have a little less personality to me.
Really?
Yeah, than the other dude. I can tell the difference between the other guy being a placeholder and this guy being taking... he's somebody I should apparently recognize. Okay. I don't know. But I don't. I'm sorry. I all sound the same. It's okay to laugh at that. They're just English people. Yeah, I know. I know, guys. Go ahead and write in anyway, though. No, it's just, I listened to it and I was like, it's fine. It's just, I liked the other guy. I thought it was okay.
Yeah.
And I thought it had a little more, the fact that it sounded more like a real guy improved that contrast that Wheatley is supposed to have with GLaDOS.
Yeah.
You know?
The fact that there wasn't a news article or press release about this is the guy voicing.
Yeah.
I understand what you're saying.
He's a real guy. Like, the voice sounds extraordinarily real. And Wheatley is supposed to be not necessarily extraordinarily real, but a contrast to GLaDOS, at least as far as I can tell. I mean, who the hell knows where they're going?
Yeah, really.
They're very tricky. But I thought that was the obvious thing. Like, if you put the two voices together, not just the personalities, but the actual voices themselves, there's supposed to be some difference there. And I thought that it made for a very good difference. And I don't know. I can't shake the feeling that maybe they put that out there to sort of test what everybody said.
Yeah.
And that they made a decision based on a poll, but that's probably not true. I don't think they do that all that often.
No.
And it wasn't that long ago that video was released, so. But there's something, this is being stupid, but it is something very new Cole, old Cole, yeah, about it, you know?
Yeah.
Something a little bit like that. And I was like, I liked what you had before. It was fun. What do I know? I'm an American.
Right.
You know, I've got a tenier or a meteor or whatever the hell, you know. Like,
when it comes to that accent.
Yeah, whatever. I don't think they understand, by the way. I really don't think they understand. That.
How's that?
What happens to Americans when they hear...
Oh, when we hear that accent?
European accents, yeah. Or like English accents in particular. I don't think it matters to them. I don't think they're capable of understanding what the American mind does when it hears that. It's hardwired to defer to it or to think certain things of it that have absolutely no reason to be true. But it's
does the new voice have a...
Yeah.
European?
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, he's English.
I started to wonder there when you,
no.
You said that.
So. My point was, that's why I can't necessarily hear the same difference.
Right.
That doesn't make sense either. But
okay.
I'm sure you guys will get what I'm saying.
Next email comes from Joe from London.
Is it a poem?
No. It's just how we got it. First off, he says, I've been a listener for a couple of years now, and I just want to begin by saying cheers. The show is unlike any other gaming podcast out there. The discussion is always intelligent and involved.
Not always.
And rambling in the best kind of way. The recent change regarding emails and tweets was a great idea and proves you're a fan-focused show. Yeah, really, that's...
We like it.
Yeah, that's how we make these shows, is those things, so... That's keep writing, keep tweeting. On to the meat. Not long ago, I accidentally deleted all my game saves whilst transporting my Xbox 360 gamer profile between consoles.
I know how much that hurts.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
I know how much that hurts. I haven't done it like in a couple of generations, but you remember when I had that mega memory card for the PS1 that ate all
my saves? This was a much more dangerous thing back in the day. Well, because you were always lured by the siren song. Storage density.
Yeah,
it's like that $25 like Sony crap only has like 8 blocks on it or blah blah blah.
Yeah, like 15 blocks, but this had like 240.
Yeah, and it's only $20 or whatever.
What could possibly go wrong?
Why wouldn't you want to buy this?
I'll put all my JRPGs on that one.
I never did that. I always bought that overpriced Sony shit, and I never lost a game save off of one of those.
I think, didn't Dana lose some? Didn't she? We were doing Rock Band at a time, and she would come over and bring her gamer profile. And she deleted something and lost a bunch of stuff. Fortunately, she wasn't really heavy into playing the games at that time. So, like, she didn't lose She didn't lose her Call of Duty stuff or anything like that that I can remember.
And, of course, you remember what Van Hatten did.
Oh, yeah.
When that same memory card, died on him.
Nom, nom, nom.
He ate it.
Threw it like a ninja star and then consumed some of it.
He was confused by the appearance of duplicate profiles on both memory card and the hard drive. This is the second time I've made this admittedly dumb mistake. You know what? I don't think it's a dumb mistake. It is very confusing, actually. After what I saw it happen to Dana, and from then on, I was like, I'm really not going to mess with this. And if I do, I will never click yes to delete. I'll just you know, I'll figure out some other way to make it happen. The prospect of playing through Mass Effect for the third time is horrific. Much as I love the series, but if I want to know how the story pans out for my Shepard, then my only choice is to slog through it in exactly the same way as I did the first time, and apparently the second. I'll have to keep reminding myself to look forward to all the unplayed Mass Effect 2 DLC. The fallout from the save game bungles in a short list of games I may never finish. Dead Rising, way too hard. Fallout 3, no way do I have another 60-plus hours to spare.
Yeah.
And Bioshock, I'll probably regret not giving this another try. I think it'd be a great idea for Microsoft to offer cloud saves to all the Xbox Live Gold annual members. I imagine it could work by some kind of automated sync process. Any save data associated with a gold gamer tag would be backed up to a cloud account. This way your 360 gaming history would always be safe, just as your gamer score is now, which is a good point. This would be peace of mind for accident-prone gamers like myself and those who have experienced a faulty hard drives and the like. I guess the most important factor for Microsoft would be the server cost to host the save data for 560,000-plus annual gold members, but with $1 billion in revenue in the 2010 fiscal year, surely they can afford to offer an improved gaming experience. It'd be nice to hear this kind of user-friendly development being considered as part of the wider discussion of cloud gaming, the storage transition between future console generations, and the benchmark set by Steam for what an online store can be. I'd love to hear your thoughts.
I think it is a brilliant idea.
No, it's not only is it a brilliant idea, like it
needs to be a necessity.
Well, I would think. Let me assure you that this, like, and you're nonetheless brilliant for thinking that this needs to be implemented, but this is being talked about there. It is absolutely being talked about there. It is one of the things that you could do at this moment. If that was announced as something that was available, I mean, no. Let's just assume magically that they could magic that shit onto every existing game. Think about all of the nasty perceptions about the difference between silver and gold memberships.
Instantly.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
You want to talk about a value add?
Mm-hmm. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Like, if you,
and hey, if you can give, I don't know how many gigs they give to Hotmail users.
Yes,
it's for free,
and it's all part of the same network identification.
Surely you can find a way to give, you know, a trivial amount of space to people.
If you look at your game saves, the game saves themselves, they never amount to more than a few hundred K.
Right.
Like it's you already you're not adding anything that isn't already there. You already kind of. You know, if you want your stuff updated and saved, you already have to log into Live anyway.
I think a gig of space would be plenty.
Cloud saves for game saves is not only is
maybe
it a great
not
idea,
necessarily keeping, like, you know, replay data for all your sports games or
but that
or
would
movie
be
data, but just save games.
That would be the responsibility of the individual publisher.
Yeah.
Like it always has been.
Yeah.
But as far as this stuff just being saved as a part of gold, man, you want to talk about instantly making your competition look 20th century.
And, you know, they also had to make it where if you're offline, it, just like with the achievements, if you get an achievement offline, once you get back online,
it'll sync it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's how cloud stuff works.
That's you just defined the cloud. I mean, Steam's already doing that. And you want to talk about fast uptake, fast natural uptake on a thing. Talk about, like, being aggravated when you come across, like, one of the normal games on Steam that doesn't do this. Mm. You'll find yourself throwing, like, a little mini tantrum inside. Like, God damn it, you know? I can play Torchlight here at work and go home and play Torchlight, and it's like,
and you're out of the same spot.
Yeah, and then when I come across something I can't do that on, I get bitchy, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, motherfucker. That's how you know that, like, this is the shit.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've realized that I hate living without it. No, dude, you are on the goddamn money. And not just because of the hardware failure rates or anything like that, but just because, like, they've already sort of played around with the whole culture of, like, taking your shit from place to place. You can already retrieve your gamer tag in another place. You can already carry your saves from one place to another. Doing that shit entirely on the cloud is exactly where Live is going. It better be where it's going. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly the sort of thing that needs to be implemented as a baseline for development on their next console.
Yeah, yeah.
So I had never really thought to put my head to that idea at all. I mean, it seems like a natural thing on Steam, and I never really embarrassed to say the idea never occurred to me on the
thesis. Yeah, it never did either until
but
I wrote it in.
I suppose when you run it, like, necessity, you know, being the mother of invention and all that, like, having your shit tank on you more than once is a really good way to think that an improvement should be implemented. So, yes.
Yeah, really.
Abso-fucking-lutely. Couldn't agree with you more.
Next email from Kyle B. Hey, everyone. First off, I want to say what a truly excellent podcast you all do. It is, without a doubt in my mind, the best games podcast on the internet, so keep it up. Thanks. Yeah.
Actually.
Also, keep
up. I swear to God, we aren't inventing these people.
No,
we're
not inventing ourselves. No, no, not at all. Also, keep up with the swearing. Part of the reason I like listening to in-game chat is because I never feel like you're trying to censor yourselves. I know you guys don't get paid to do this, and it means a lot to me that you do. We'll keep doing that. Anyway, to the point of my email. My question's this. If you could wave a magic MacGuffin and forever kill off any video game franchise of your choice, what would it be? And which video game franchise would you want resurrected from the dead? And let's say you have to kill off a franchise in order to bring another one back to life.
That's a clever mechanic for your question there. Yeah. I like that. That way I can't just say, well, I don't necessarily need to kill anything off, you know.
Yeah.
You're going to make me kill something off, so...
Well, I'm filled with hate, so... Can I kill off the thing that you won't? Can I kill off two things, because Jeremy won't kill off something else? Who wants to go first?
Yeah, really. Who wants to go first?
Matt I'm has trying to go think, first.
I also want to say that, like, we're also big fans of not censoring ourselves.
Yeah. Yes. He and I actually talked about this on... We were chatting on Steam about it. And I told him, I can't even remember how we used to get through things when we were doing
when we were on the radio.
Because it used to be like, I just start getting real frustrated and like clenching my fists and just making
shaking a little
faces
bit.
And like you just hear like quiet for a long time. And it was me trying to figure out how to say something for that sweater. And every now and then like I'd get worked up and like Scott would see me get worked up. And you could just like his hand would drift over towards the towards the dump button.
The big red button that would drop out 7 seconds. Yeah, oh man.
And it would just sort of drift over and just kind of hover on top of it. You know?
The same with...
It was rarely you. It was usually our guests, though.
It was, yeah.
Well, that was the thing, because, like, they would forget.
Yeah.
And Scott would just be leaning back, fingering himself or something, listening to, like, somebody talk about something, and then they'd swear.
We were so conversational talking to us, they would forget they were on, like, some sort of interview
thing. Blow shit up all day.
Oh, wait.
Good times,
it was really tough, so we appreciate it as well. Because, you know... It's tough, and we don't make any bones about being a, you know, I don't, everybody knows by now and has known for a very long time, I don't give a shit if your kid's in the room, like, I really don't. And if you ever need to explain to your kid how to use the words, you know.
Just ask Spigot.
Yeah.
Like, he's had experience in that department.
And that's just where we keep it, because we can't do it otherwise, so. Matt, answer.
All right, I think I would, Farmville? I would kill Farmville, and in its place I would bring back Eternal Darkness.
That's kind of a cop-out, man.
It is a little bit of a cop-out. Yeah. You're a populist fuck.
Well, I've been trying to think,
No, you're done. You've committed yourself.
I was trying to think of, like, things that to kill. I'm like, the things that I would kill is stuff that I wouldn't play anyway, so I'm like... I don't care. You know, yeah. Pokemon, don't care. Don't play it. Or, you know, the reason why Farmville, just, I'm tired of, like, looking on Facebook and seeing people's, you know, little Farmville.
I think if you kill a Facebook game, you can only bring back a Facebook game.
So, oh, really?
Yeah. Or you'll bring your franchise back as a Facebook game.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah, so you've got, like, some, you know, Pet Cemetery shit going on here, man. You just fucked up, my friend.
Yeah.
I think I did.
What did he bring back? I got stuck.
Eternal Darkness.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I would bring that back.
Congratulations. Great.
I can see it now. Someone's status update. Someone right. Gone sane. Oh, crap.
Yeah. Pet Cemetery. I was thinking the Monkey's Paw, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm just proud of you for referencing something that happened to be a movie. Even though it was a book.
That's probably the last time that'll happen.
Yeah, it is. Which one were you referencing, by the way?
Oh, whatever. I've never read the book or seen the movie.
The trailer?
I'm familiar.
He just knows he misses his animals, but if they ever came back alive, they'd be in zombie form and out to kill him.
Wait. No, fuck. I want to redo my answer.
Sorry.
Oh,
too late.
You've already been
Once we've gone through the group, then we'll go back to you and ask what it was, because I'm very curious what you want to say. It won't change anything, but I'm very curious as to what you wanted to say. But I don't want to read it.
No, wait! RJ. RJ's actually thinking. He's not goofing off and being a fucking jackass like the rest of us. He's putting himself to work on this one, so.
I'd kill Madden and bring back 2K, 2K's version of football.
Yeah, you're doing it right.
I didn't know what you would kill.
You just brought balance to the force, my friend.
You're doing it right.
You're doing it right. I knew that you would. I knew what you would bring back. I did not know that you would necessarily kill Madden, but that's good. That's good.
Kill Madden would bring back the competition, and the competition makes it better.
No, that's absolutely right. Like, you chose to carry the ring.
You chose wisely.
You know, Mordor. So, there you go. Well, don't worry about it.
Okay.
Just don't make the face. Don't worry about it. It's all right. Because it didn't make any sense anyway. Jeremy, go.
No. I don't know what I'm bringing back yet.
No, that's too bad.
I don't know what I'm killing off.
I don't know what to kill.
Or at least killing it off in a way. I can't match up to what RJ just did.
What are you? Are you Jeremy all of a sudden? Jeremy, go.
No.
Give him time.
All right, we're going clockwise.
Okay. So you can be left.
Yeah. What happens when I go?
We talk?
Yeah. No, I talk.
He talks. Yeah.
So. All right. I would kill off Legacy of Kain. And the reason I say Legacy of Kain, I know it had, like, there hadn't been a sequel in a long time, but they're talking about...
You just want to make sure.
It's a vampire, like,
so you want to stake it in the heart?
That yeah.
That was the one I was bringing
I want to make sure. Yeah. I want to make sure it's dead. So I got to stake it in the heart. They keep talking about, like, going back and pulling some of their old properties back, and they keep mentioning Legacy of Kain. And, like, I like where it was left. It's one of the only series that left me in a really, really good spot with a good conclusion. So I'm like, yeah, I want to stake that son of a bitch and make sure it stays dead. And, fuck, I'll bring back Crimson Skies.
Oh, yeah.
When you get to the ground,
tell him Zachary sent you.
If I had more time, I might could think of something I wanted more than that. But yeah. But Crimson Skies is good. So
it is good.
That's what happens when I go first. Fuck all y'all.
You just suck at this game.
I do.
All you were doing was trying your fucking darndest not to say... something published by Luke. You were just trying real hard not to do that, which I commend you for coming up with something different. I mean, you know, it's a little bit pedestrian to kill a Facebook game, which we're not even really a franchise, by the way. These guys, they've actually mentioned franchises.
I know.
I was going to correct you, but then I realized that would be like throwing you a bone. You just like killed a game and brought back a game. Actually, you killed a game and invented a franchise. So, I don't know whether that makes it worse or better.
Well, it involved Facebook, so it's all worse in the end.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, Scott, go.
I was going to resurrect Legacy of Kain.
Yeah.
So if he kills it, you resurrect it.
It's okay. That way I can kill it and get my Crimson Skies.
No, you already killed it.
Oh, okay.
Because we're going clockwise.
Well, no, I'm going to be fair. It's already used, so I'll go in a different direction.
No, it was
used
for death.
Yeah. It was used for
How terror. Do you not understand that that adds interesting complexity to the conversation?
I'll be a zombie.
Because
man.
I've already gotten that out there. So
no, but I mean, I'm saying
it.
Like quite literally, like the fact that he wants to kill it and he has very good reasons for wanting to do it.
Yeah.
It would not be my thing to bring back, but I can actually agree with you there because the things I played of it, I didn't play it through to its completion. You know. But the things I did play really liked, mm-hmm. and I wouldn't mind seeing something happen with it. So that's all I'm saying. You shouldn't back off of it just because
you should stick with
it.
Your thing.
Yeah, I didn't know you had played whatever that fucking last title
was. It Deception?
No, I don't think it was Deception. But anyway, yeah, shit, I can't remember. It probably was. Now that I say that it wasn't, probably was. I didn't know you played that.
Yep.
Yeah,
played that on the PC.
I'm with you. I was happy with the way that ended, but mm-hmm. I just want more.
Yeah.
I still want more of it. It doesn't have to continue that story. Just give me more. Give me more of that. That's why I want to resurrect it. Now I've fucking forgotten what I wanted to kill off. I was gonna go with Pokemon, but I never really play Pokemon.
Yeah,
I feel that's an unfair answer.
Why would you do that?
I feel that's an unfair answer.
No, it's just because it's there. I mean, yeah. If you want Legacy of Kain so bad that you're willing to just kill off the first thing you can put your hands on, that's okay. Bad guys do that all the time. It doesn't have to be like a virgin or anything, you know? It doesn't have to be really... Nobody has to really like it.
Well, you know, I'd be willing to sacrifice the Burnout franchise to bring back Legacy of Kain.
Okay.
It's a better sacrifice. I don't think you'll get exactly what you want by killing Pokemon. You'll get something with a bunch of
Jeremy's apparently over here assuming all sorts of like really devious, you know, like... Like demon level, like fucking warlock magic. Over here, you know?
He's writing a Twilight Zone episode.
Yeah, well, I mean, Scott's thinking.
When you make
like,
these deals, you always get fucked in some way.
So. I mean, if you consort with fucking demons and djinns, yes. I just think it's funny that you're assuming that's the genesis of the magic. Scott's really more from like. Scott's picturing like, you know, Mickey Mouse in the master's study or something like that. It's like. Some kind of happier magic with things that sparkle, you know? Jeremy believes in some sort of insidious, nasty shit. Like, there's no way you can make this deal without getting absolutely goat-fucked. You know? Dead pets, succubi, like, everything. This says a lot about the psychology of this, what's going on here at the table.
All right, so what are you
gonna do?
RJ's
clinical was a motherfucker.
So what are you doing?
Are you committed to Pokemon? No, you're committed to
Burnout. I was committed to Burnout. I'd be willing to get rid of the Burnout franchise, a game that I love, and I know the two don't really mix, but give up one thing I love to bring back something else that I love. So,
I feel like you don't understand this sometimes.
Sometimes?
I would kill Resident Evil.
Ah, yeah.
Dad is a motherfucker.
Yeah.
Like...
Bring back Resident Evil.
You kid, but I actually did think about answering. I actually did put some, you know, fucking, get myself a Mord Sith, Breath of Life, that motherfucker.
Get some green herbs.
And then confess the bitch and make it do what I want. There's a little sort of truth nerd for you.
It's for you, Ravenlock.
No, I would bring back... this is going to seem a little strange. I would bring back the Lancer series. Lancer, Freelancer. I would shoot things in space again.
Immediately when it was Scott's turn, I realized that's where I would have gone had I had a chance to think a little bit.
I would kill
more.
Resident Evil,
so
bring back Lancer.
I'm glad you brought back Lancer since I've already brought back Crimson Skies. Cool.
Well, you know.
And I think the Resident Evil is a good sacrifice just because, like, the potential is always there for it to improve.
But
it just doesn't. So it's like,
again, with the potential never reaching.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, now that I think about, to pull up my LucasArts hat.
No, what are you doing? You're not allowed to do this.
Scott said he wanted to hear what, you know, now that I had a little more time.
It doesn't change your original answer.
No, this isn't going to change my original answer.
You had said something popped in your head, and I was curious what it was.
I would kill off the Jedi Knight series and bring back X-Wing.
That's not a bad decision.
Jedi Knight series still alive?
It's not totally dead.
An Academy like the last thing that happened?
I think it was.
Nine years ago?
Yeah, you did make a point that Legacy of Kain was coming back. That's why you wanted to kill it.
Well, they were talking about it. They keep... But it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I mean... Nothing's ever really dead.
All these rules we're putting on ourselves.
Well, but I mean, nothing is ever really dead. And if you really loved something the way it was, like, go ahead and kill it, you know, in our little theory thing here. And, like, that way you know it can never be bastardized or destroyed.
Okay.
By being brought back.
I like Kyle Katarn. I like the story that he went through. But, I mean, there's only so many times he could lose his force powers, gain them back. And
there's only so many times you can give a fuck about doing what was done there. So... Now, cutting things with lightsabers could pretty much go on for the rest of the time.
Yeah, really.
Especially if they did it right with, made it that cheat.
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
The actual way it should be. But, I'd bring back X-Wing. Just for the whole, like you said, with Lancer, just being back in space and shooting stuff.
I mean, my argument is that Lancer was always trying to move forward and tell its own story. X-Wing is like, how many times can you bisect the same angle? That's the problem with Star Wars, is that you go too far back... Well, you can kind of go sort of far back, but, like, particularly with X-Wing, You got like these two time periods. And like to add more games simply means chopping it up into tinier and tinier pieces, and the whole thing conflicts with itself. This is dirty. This is nasty. That's why it didn't work beyond a certain point, you know.
They so could theoretically do like the Rogue Squadron stuff, unlike the Rogue Squadron games.
Yeah, but I mean, even still, you're still in the same conflict. Like, one of their big problems was they could never get away from cameo appearances of their goddamn anchor characters.
Yeah.
Which was stupid. I said, I don't give a fuck about you. I mean, like, you know, like, who don't like Wedge Antilles, right? You gotta have a cold fucking heart not to like Wedge Antilles. But after a while, I got sick of even seeing Wedge Antilles. It's like, bitch, don't you have bigger things to do? Like, go be in charge of lots of things?
Yeah.
Like, let me just be, like, you know, Bob X-Wing. Wherever. Like, you know, killing Joe TIE Fighter.
Yeah.
So, and they could never commit themselves to that ever in any of the games. It's like, it's not a game until Luke shows up and drags his fucking dick across the entire and all of, you know, and, well, I mean, I'm serious, like, that's what they did with everything.
Yeah,
they had a lot of trouble really committing to letting their games exist on their own, which is why the, you know, the 4,000 years ago shit was kind of cool, because it didn't have to. You know, you get hyperdrives and lasers and lightsabers and stuff.
But even without, you know, all the Old Republic, they still, you know, made mention of, you know, Marcos Dragnus and some of the other stuff that's been established.
Yeah, dude, you're reaching a little bit there. I don't care about people that have been established in the fiction. I care about people who can't make a game without dragging one of the half a dozen core movie characters into it. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Whoever the fuck you just mentioned is not an anchor character. He's some guy. So... That was fun, actually. Thanks.
Yeah, it really was.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. We got a couple of emails here from Chris Wilson. So the first one's on Wii Graphics. The common assumption regarding Nintendo's stance on graphics seems to be that they found a stopping point, that they don't need, they don't see any need in progressing any further. It seems to me, though, that they just don't care about chasing the cutting edge anymore. Look at the 3DS, for example. Graphically, it's a huge progression from the original DS, but compared to the PSP, it's not a huge improvement. At the time that the PSP came out, it was cutting edge, but now that that level of graphical power has become current and affordable, the DS is progressing to that level. I imagine the Wii will follow a similar progression. When the rest of the consoles finally take the leap towards the new cutting edge, Nintendo will adopt the now standard HD graphics. I believe their hope is that the distance between the current and cutting edge will continue to diminish in further generations, and that by staying with whatever's current and affordable, they'll maintain the market lead they regained with the Wii. Whether this will work out or not, who can say, but I can at least understand their intentions. Now, all we have to hope for is that their motion controls and games that utilize them will also continue to progress. I tend to err on the side of optimism, which I know isn't exactly your forte, but I like to think that all the motion controls need to move from gimmick to accepted control method is time and the right games. Adding them to a console mid-generation, on the other hand, well, I'll wait and let history judge that move. Capitalized move,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah.
Man, regarding Nintendo's graphic stance, you're absolutely correct. I don't know why anyone would think that they're just going to stay still from now to, you know, the end of whenever with the graphics they have now. I mean, clearly they moved forward from the GameCube, but just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, it would be at this point absolutely nothing for them to release a system with 720p graphics on par, even a little bit better than what you've got with the PS3 and the 360. Yeah, you're right. There's no doubt that's what their next system will be. It's not going to be a big cutting edge expensive thing. It's going to be like a nice little modest, like, we're doing what could only a little bit better than what could be done a generation ago thing. So yeah, you're right.
There you go. Chris writes back and says, sorry to write in twice in a row. Write in as many times as you want. But I was just listening to the latest cast and wanted to say that the first time I heard about head tracking, my immediate thought was to pair it with video glasses. I actually have a pair that you can hook up to an iPod, but if they ever made some that you could easily use with a PC or console, playing a racing or air combat game with head tracking would be absolutely amazing. Throw in 3D visuals and you'd be knocking at the door of virtual reality. And God knows I'm ready for us to get virtual reality already. That and flying cars, maybe hoverboards.
Sexy robots. You get the, I need my sexy robots. So like my android women.
Yeah.
Seriously, maybe even before the cars thing.
Cherry 2000.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to put any constraints on anybody's creativity out there while they're making my sexy androids. I just don't want them to be forgotten about. Well, I mean, I said what I had to say about the head tracking. Head tracking is a problem if your display isn't tracking with your head. You know, mm-hmm. if it's not always locked in front of your eyes. If it is, you know, if you had some glasses and it was like displaying on the glasses. Bully. But, you know, if not, like, it's just a thing. It's not terrible, but what you wind up with, and certainly what you had with the Track IR, is that the sensitivity has to be high enough that you turn your head a very, very small amount, you know, like a few degrees either to the left or right or up or down, mm-hmm. and you see a dramatic movement on screen. Otherwise, you turn your head completely away from your monitor and like fucking can't look at anything anymore.
Yeah.
So it's a thing, but it obviously works. It works pretty damn well. Just not, it's not all the way. And you still have to put some shit on your head, you know? Fucking headband, yeah. or you have to like paint a dot on your face, or like a hat or glasses or something. I mean, eventually, you know, and this is the point at which I do agree with something interesting, quote unquote, coming from the Kinect tech, is that it'll just be able to do it without you wearing any shit. And that'll be great.
Regarding your sexy androids.
Don't disparage my sexy androids.
I'm not disparaging your sexy androids. Like, it seems like the only people working on any kind of robot and android stuff are over in Japan. They've gone some pretty strange directions with that stuff, like the Casper, the friendly ghost.
I think that's weird.
Was it like my absolute, fully honest, no exaggeration, my first reaction to that was I wanted to shoot it in the head. I really wanted to walk up to it and shoot it in the head. And I wanted to see like all of its stupid little repellent, you know, robot innards fly out of the, you know, fucking crater I was going to blow in the back of its fucking stupid little robot cranium. I hated that thing. It was sick. Only sick people would make something like that. It was gross.
This
didn't even have boobs.
This is going to be used against you when our robot overlords take over and try us.
Whatever.
You're going to be executed.
I'm sure of it.
First on the wall when the revolution comes.
Yeah, probably. and my disparaging comments about their, you know, fucking zygote robot progenitors is going to be the least of their complaints against me. My consorting with their sexy android is probably going to be chief among the complaints.
Did you see just that the Japanese mouth that they had?
Yes, yeah. I saw all of it. Yeah, that's why I wanted to shoot it. I wanted, like, I had this vision, like, you know, when in the first Alien, yeah. when they're like beating the shit out of the android,
yeah,
like his fucking head flies off and like all his like rubber guts go flying everywhere, and I was like, oh god, I just want to do that to this thing.
See if it sprays milk.
And then Chris Wilson finally writes in again and talks to us about Bioshock. A while back, you expressed your confusion about how disinterested most people were in Bioshock 2. I know this is an argument that was long ago put to rest, but with the announcement of Bioshock Infinite, I feel like I can finally articulate what it is, or it was, about Bioshock 2 that rubbed me the wrong way. The idea of a Bioshock sequel isn't a bad thing in and of itself. Bioshock itself is in many ways just an iteration on what System Shock 2 did, after all. Bioshock 2 just felt like it missed the point, though. The setting of Rapture, the plasmids, the Big Daddies, and the philosophical undertones were all incredibly interesting. But they were interesting because of how new, unfamiliar, and wholly original they were, at least within the realm of video games. By simply retreading the same ground in Bioshock 2, all these interesting things were made familiar and mundane, and they lost the spark of the original. I understand that this maybe should have been expected. What was done in Bioshock 2 isn't any different than the way most popular franchises are iterated upon, and people still anticipate the next Halo or Call of Duty as much as they did the last one. It's just that Bioshock never felt just like any other game. It felt like a beacon of originality amongst a torrid sea of repetitive sequels and wannabes. That's why Bioshock 2 felt like a stab in the heart to so many fans. Not because we didn't want another Bioshock, but because we hoped the sequel would do what the original did, something new. Fortunately for I and other fans like myself, it looks as though we may actually now get the Bioshock sequel that we had hoped for. I'd love to hear your thoughts on the teaser trailer and announced details of the game.
Thing A. It is always wrong to expect from a sequel what you got from the original. I know that you're free to expect whatever you want, but it'll never happen. And we've said this time and time again. Revolution or new ideas and new exciting developments, it's a little bit of avarice to expect that shit all the time. And when you carry that expectation with you, I think you do a disservice to yourself and to the games. It's just not possible. Bioshock 2 was more Bioshock. Mm-hmm. And while it may not have been as revelatory as the first one, and the storytelling, in my opinion, really wasn't as good at all, but the level design was an improvement. Gameplay was significantly improved over the first one. It did everything that a sequel was supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And my question, just to be more specific, was never about why didn't people play Bioshock 2 and love it. My question was, why did people hate Bioshock 2 before it ever came out?
I think just the idea.
Yeah, but I mean, again, like, nothing else is really... I don't want to say nothing, because somebody will fucking find something. But nothing really suffers that level of hate for just being a sequel. You know, the fact that they would do Bioshock again in the same place was fine. If they had ever done same thing with System Shock, I would have been totally happy. More System Shock.
It's funny because I know what he's saying, because I feel my reaction to Bioshock 2 and Bioshock Infinite is much the same as his. But I'm not happy with my own understanding of why that is.
Yeah. Okay, that's...
Because, yeah, Bioshock 2 comes out, and I didn't hate it. I mean, you know me, I was just kind of blasé. I was like, okay, well, whatever. I'm not super interested in this thing, and I never got around to playing it, although it's still, like, kind of on my to-do list. Although, actually a little bit less so now than Infinite is on the horizon. And then I see...
Which I find strange.
Yeah. But then I see Infinite, and I'm like, oh, wow, hey, that's... Now you've got my attention. That looks like a lot of fun.
Which I also find strange.
Yeah. So
you apparently find pre-rendered video fun. That's the only thing we've seen.
That is the only thing we've seen. But
other people have seen other things. But whatever. I'm not trying to snark all over your thing while you're still talking about it. I'll wait a second.
But I'm not like that about other games. I mean, Bioshock, delivered a lot of original shit that was cool and new at the time. But then so did Assassin's Creed. Mm-hmm. So why then was I all jazzed about Assassin's Creed 2? Well, of course, Assassin's Creed left you on a cliffhanger, and I needed more story and see where it went, because Bioshock wrapped itself up pretty well.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know. I've never been... I'm still not really, really happy with my understanding of that. But I understand the feeling, because I feel the same way.
Right.
I'm excited
and I'm not even
about...
saying it's wrong.
I'm excited about Infinite, and I was not excited about 2.
I think I should edit my previous statement and say that I don't think that 2 was, across the board, a better piece of level design. Because the point at which I quit playing it was a place where I was like, I don't like this. I like what came before it, but I don't like this thing in particular. That's not why I quit, but I remember that thought. I was like, this is... Yeah, it's like a haunted house with the lights turned on kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't feeling it. But that aside, some of the other things that they did I thought were actually very, very good. There's nothing wrong with saying, I liked BioShock because it was new and different. Therefore, unless a thing is new and different, you know, I just feel like it's more of the same or whatever. But it was, and I'm not even questioning your, you know, any his or yours or anybody's specific problem. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that if you weren't excited about it, something's wrong with you. My question was, why are so many people set against it long before it ever came out, long before there was ever any real understanding of it? So it's not a question of why wouldn't a person like this game? That can always be answered by that person to some, probably some rational degree, you know? Why wouldn't a person be excited about Halo Reach? Well, fucking, that's easy to understand. Why wouldn't a person be excited about anything? But to me, and I think to a few other people at least, it seemed disproportionate. And nobody could come up with a satisfactory reason because the same criteria was not being applied to other games. So after it coming out, people saying, well, I was excited for it, but then it felt like crap. Sure, that's totally fine. I always thought they were very clear up front that, yeah, the story didn't demand a sequel, but Rapture did. Rapture itself is an interesting place. Rapture was the character that transferred over from game to game. The rest of the people, it didn't fucking matter. It was all about the place. And whether or not they realized that in an appropriate way is up for debate, you know? But I always thought that's what it was about. So I was never under any misapprehension about what the game was trying to be. And I certainly never go looking for revolution in places where I shouldn't, because I don't think I fall back too often on this idea that, well, I'm just getting old and I guess I don't find things exciting anymore. That kind of stuff. I don't do that.
Maybe the answer really does lie with Rapture being the star of the game.
Yeah, that's possible.
That
and just not wanting to go
Rapture
to Rapture
again. as a thing or as I hate to say as a character, but that is how we keep sort of.
Why not?
So,
I mean,
so as a character was developed in such a way that once everything that I needed to know was revealed about it, I sort of lost interest in going back there and doing things, as though there was nothing else to learn by going back there about Rapture.
Yeah. I mean, again, I think that makes perfect sense.
Maybe if leading up to 2 they had made clear that there was still a lot to learn about Rapture, maybe then I would have been interested. But Infinite, clearly there's an awful lot to learn about whatever it is that you're...
But they were clear about that fact leading up to 2. The fact that it wasn't clear at the end of 1. I mean, again, okay, this... I think the conundrum here is that any way you tell me about your particular thing with 2,
mm-hmm.
yeah, totally legit. It's simply the fact that when applied to the massive number of people and that... what I perceive is kind of a backlash against the idea of a sequel at all, which, by the way, people may or may not agree to this, but if Levine and all his people had worked on 2, I don't think that would have happened. I think it's a lot of bullshit star worship.
Mm.
I think it's a lot of nasty, nasty preconceived notions about what a thing should be, even though that has nothing to do with you
right.
or with anybody who writes into our show. I think that's out there, and I just think that there's a lot of very strange psychology and a very weird herd behavior with a lot of people, which is probably what inflates the numbers and makes me question it, even when people whose opinion that I care to listen to, our listeners and yours and everybody at this table, still doesn't seem to answer it for me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's very strange. But... I'm entirely capable of going back to a place that's populated with different people and defined by different conflicts to see it from another angle. There have been times when we've begged for that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Why not give the benefit of the doubt to this other game? I don't know. It was very strange. So, and I think it'll actually... I think if anybody could figure it out from the design end, then they'd be able to make more intelligent design decisions about sequels. But I think there's a lot to be... understood about it, because I don't think there is one answer as much as anybody on any particular internet forum would like to say, this is why.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be why for you. But the very fact that you're on an internet gaming forum talking about it means that maybe your, I don't want to say your opinion necessarily counts for more, but maybe it's a little more of an informed and better opinion. At least that's what I think if it's in one of our places. Because you give a shit more if you're thinking about it. I don't know. I think it's complicated, but I don't know what to say. But, and see, not to jump away from it, but like, yeah, Infinite looks interesting. We haven't seen fucking shit, dude. And I asked you this question, and you couldn't remember. But don't any of you guys remember the first fucking video they showed of BioShock?
Yeah, it's the exact, almost exact.
It's the exact same goddamn thing. And that shit had no relevance to the fucking gameplay whatsoever. It was way over the top. Much more dynamic than the gameplay we actually got. Oh, sorry. No, it's all right, Joe.
Just checking to see what was going on.
That's cool.
Communism.
You know, as interesting as an answer is, I'm going to leave that one alone.
All right.
Y'all take care.
Yeah, you too.
Thank you.
That was Joe. He's our security guy.
I feel secure.
He has a bike. And a bicycle with security on it. It has a little light that flashes.
It's and pretty ching awesome. Ching.
Yeah, it's fun.
Stop, ching ching.
Yeah,
the point is, like, I mean, I didn't hate it. I'm perfectly capable of being like, this was an FMV, and then here's the actual game. But, like, that caused a big... It was a thing. Like, there was a medium-sized stir about that. Like, when we actually saw the gameplay, it's like, no, there's nothing like this over here. Blah, 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 blah. Whatever. Like, this is doing exactly the same thing. Precisely the same thing. They showed no public gameplay. The gameplay was only shown to press. And it was a canned experience. Which, as an aside, it was very interesting reading different editorial opinions about that from people who are at Gamescom.
Oh, yeah?
Very, very interesting. If you read, like, I mean, whatever. Necessarily like to shit on other people who actually get paid to do this kind of crap. But, like, go read, and you'll hear me say this a lot, but what the fuck ever. Like, and an awful lot of respect for the way it was written from the rock, paper, shotgun point of view. And very little respect for the way it was written from the joystick point of view. It's almost like the guys watch like two totally different things in terms of the impact it had on the individual, which tells you an awful lot about how important the individual is, not just the site, but the individual.
Yeah.
And anyway, my point is that like they didn't show anything. They showed. I mean, it was almost an homage to that first canned piece of shit that they showed for BioShock, which it kind of wasn't
a side by side.
Yeah, and it was like, you know, it was like. I get it. You're telling me kind of what your style is and sort of give me a general idea of the emotion that's going to be in play in this game, but nothing about what the gameplay is like. So every question is now about the gameplay, and that's the only thing that matters anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you guys have your fucking work cut out for you to make Columbia anything like the kind of place that Rapture was. First off, it's not even... We could all sort of turn a, you know, like, I don't know, soften our focus a little bit and kind of pretend that Rapture was the sort of thing that could happen in our world. But Columbia?
No.
This absolutely requires you to go off into historical fiction. It demands it.
Yeah.
What was it, the 1890 what, World's Fair?
Yeah.
Took off and flew away? Like, what? It's like a Terry Gilliam piece. I mean, it's like, all of a sudden it's like an oddball British comedy or some shit, you know? It's just fucking Time Bandits. Like, which is fine. Don't get me wrong, that's fine. But you're working with entirely different, there's no way. I'm sorry, there's no way. The fact that there's a lone lighthouse on a rocky outcropping in the center of the Atlantic Ocean in 1960, and there's a whole city down there. Yes, it's preposterous, but it's out of sight and it's abiding by different rules. So we can kind of be like, okay, whatever, that really happened and then it was lost and wow, what a shame. Yeah. But
my thing
this
is,
thing is like, yeah, it's different.
You look out the port windows in Rapture, and you got the whole ocean out there, and it's beautiful. You see fish, you know, swimming in front of you. Or dead bodies, you know, maybe even a big daddy or whatever. And what, you look out and you see clouds?
Well,
it just, to me, I mean, having not seen, obviously.
Well, you won't know what you see if you need to look out, you know.
Yeah, it's just one of the, I'm just trying to imagine what would, you know, the background. Because in Rapture, you always had that, you know, you always had some kind of window to the outside of the ocean floor. And it, you know, even if it's just, you know, off somewhere small.
Here's where I think your failure is.
Yeah.
And I'm making an enormous assumption here. Rapture was an interior. That's all Rapture ever was, because you're at the bottom of the fucking ocean. I think they screwed up by not allowing you to be a big daddy for a longer period of time in the first game. Escorting a little sister shouldn't have been what you did. You should have been a big daddy, blown a hole in the wall, and gone walking around on the ocean floor like they let you do in Bioshock 2. Which, by the way, I'm sorry, that was fucking cool. Like, that was great. It was something they should have done in the first one. But the entire game was basically defined by interiors. This doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be closed channel movement from one interior to the next interior. This game could be as exterior as it is interior. So what you see when you look out a window is of very little importance when compared to what it meant in Rapture. Looking out of windows is what you did 99% of the time.
Yeah.
Like, in Columbia, that's unnecessary. You mean just be outside, you know? It's about moving from platform to platform, and the relationship between the player and space is totally different. You can do many different things. Your interior to exterior transitions are going to be the real challenge. If they treat environment design in Infinite the same way they treated it in Rapture, they will fucking destroy it. Because it was defined by the environment. It was defined by the setting they chose. And there's no way they're going to be that stupid.
Yeah.
But so the design is going to be totally different. So worrying about looking at clouds out of the window, that's not going to be your problem. What you're going to be concerned about looking at is what part of the fucking heartland you're floating over. And that's something that they can do a lot with. You know, it would be very easy to make transitions, like floating over different parts of the country. It's not like this is taking place in the fucking 1400s, you know. It's taking place at the turn of the 20th century. There's a lot going on down there on the ground, depending on where they want to put Columbia. So what's going on down there? That'll be important. And we don't know what else there is. I mean,
yeah.
1912, right? That's when it's taking place?
I believe so. Yep.
And airplanes. You know? They weren't, you know, like, fast or anything, but I don't imagine Columbia is exactly, you know, the fucking Enterprise.
No.
So, the relationship, assuming the relationship from Bioshock and in the position of Infinite is a huge mistake. Because already you're coloring your expectations about something you know, we don't know shit about.
Yeah.
So, I don't think it's going to be anything like that. But what we really fucking need to see is not the promotional material that came in their goddamn swag bag or a pre-rendered cutscene. Like, it's a separate argument, but the time for that shit is fucking over, man. That shit is over. If you're not ready to show me gameplay, then don't fucking show gameplay to the press. Because you could theoretically wind up in a much, much worse position than you would be if you simply showed the gameplay to people. Because there's no guarantee that these editors or reporters or columnists or various middlemen are going to be any better at getting your message across. As is evidenced by the fact that you know that This guy were all in the same room and saw precisely the same presentation, and none of their reporting is really identical. So that's great, but you haven't necessarily gained anything by only showing it to them. Because depending on who reads what, you're either going to come out thinking, this is just some like kind of boring shit and they didn't really show anything. But if you read this guy over here who's actually able to make a connection, you know, something more than like a fucking fart joke, he's actually able to dig down and understand why we like games in the first place and can kind of carry you to that place of understanding the emotional connection, you realize, holy fuck, they must have, like, shown something very cool.
Yeah.
So, fuck your canned bullshit. If you're not ready to show it, don't show it. If you're ready to show it them, show it to everybody. You don't help yourself because you build unrealistic expectations. Not just bigger and better, but unrealistic in that they don't match the thing at all. I mean, still shots are okay, but only a little bit. I don't know. This whole thing and the way this whole operation was done, I think, is an example of how it should not be done, regardless of how interested I am in the environment. I mean, I think it's cool, but I'm already telling myself not to expect a goddamn thing from what was done in Bioshock. Even though Levine has said to expect it not to be Bioshock would be a lie. Yeah. To say that it's not Bioshock would be a lie. You know, plasmid in my left hand, gun in my right. Whatever. Fuck off, I don't care. That's fine. Later I'll get to worrying about how the fuck do I have a plasmid?
Yeah.
When, according to the fiction of Bioshock, the shit wasn't yet. Yeah, so... And I like that, and clearly he's going to play with that, and I don't know what his gimmick is. I'd also like to add that... No, you'll get the... You'll understand the name when you finish the game. I mean, fuck you. That's not a good way to name your game. I should understand the game. I should understand it either right now or at the beginning of the game. I don't like names that I don't understand until the end. Because by that point, I think it's too late to make the connection. I will have already made some weird decision about it before then. So... I don't know. And I kind of like the idea. I don't know what they're doing with old girl, the companion thing, because that's kind of what you get. She sounds like a familiar. I understand everybody has read, they know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That the chick in question from, like, she's going to be with you, but it's not an escort mission, you know, like, but she boosts your powers kind of thing, you know, like, very, very familiar-esque. I just hope I don't have to fucking worry about her well-being. I don't like doing that.
Yeah.
I guess I like the idea or the indication that not everybody is a fucking zombie in this population. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And Levine really did have a lot of intelligent stuff to say about it. I mean, I do trust the guy's understanding of design. But like a lot of other people, I think he's really guilty of overselling. So, we'll see. I just think that... I wish it wasn't Bioshock.
Yeah.
And it's a stupid internet meme.
I was hoping for something
for another
different shock.
Yeah.
They've already established that they like the shock thing. And it's kind of cheesy, but... Okay, System Shock was this. Bioshock was this. Like, you know... And then there's, like, all the funny fucking jokes from the forums and everything about, whatever the fuck you want to call it, like, Flyoshock, or,
Aeroshock.
I mean, you know why they're not going to continue down that path, and that's because that's not the sort of shit, that's not the kind of branding that the company can control.
It's not even...
It's precisely why they named it Bioshock, because they didn't control the System Shock stuff anymore. So anybody could make a Something Shock game... And it could lead to brand confusion. So I get it from that point of view. But what I was even hoping for something that wasn't even related to Bioshock.
Oh, I think pretty much everybody was.
Yeah.
That's a good point you bring up, though, because there really was kind of a bit of a disappointment. Because I think we went over to... We knew that stuff was going on. And so you and I had lunch together and went home and, like, tried to bring up the... Because we knew ahead of time that they were going to be posting, like, their thing. So we went over to your place to look at the trailer and we were like, oh... I see.
Yeah.
This is what we're doing. Okay. Well, looks neat. You know, like we had to really ease into the idea, but...
Yeah.
Just a little bit like, oh, I thought you were more than this. I thought maybe you actually could break free and do something you really wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
But every time now that you tell me that this is really what you wanted to do, I'm not really going to believe you. I'm going to believe that you were made to do this.
Cried wolf a couple times.
Well, because this is, you know... This is recognizable. It's called Bioshock. It works like Bioshock. People will buy it. Yeah, it was a little disappointing. But good game is good. So if it's good, then and whatever. And just, yeah, it's a little strange.
We got a last minute tweet here from Iron Past. I'll have bought this long before I hear an answer, but do you think Sins of a Solar Empire Trinity is worth the 40 bucks?
What is Trinity?
I think it's the full bundle thing.
The full bundle?
Yeah,
yes.
I think it's everything.
Yeah.
For $40.
I do. And then go get the Star Wars mod.
Yeah.
Whether you like Star Wars or not, I don't know. It's just it's better than they've ever actually been able to do themselves.
Yeah.
For a game like that.
Well, and they've only
that has only ever been perfectly realized by other people making mods, which is just fucking.
They've only done two though, and you know both were bad.
Yeah, but I mean, what does it matter? Like, it's been done infinitely better by modders.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost as embarrassing as, like, yeah. Max Payne out-matrixing the yeah. Matrix game.
I've met a company with the resources of LucasArts.
Yeah.
Not only not being able to live up to the shit that, like, you know, indie developers like Stardock can do, but not being able to live up to, like, what modders can do. I mean, that's...
It's sad, yes.
Basically, like, everybody that has less than us can do better.
Yeah.
Everybody.
It's embarrassing. Fucking embarrassing. Fucking shutter your shit. Like, disappear for a few years. And then come back, like, after you've hired a bunch of modders.
Anyway, that's our tweets, and those are our emails. And here's Kevin's Corner, very quick this week.
Man, you guys are just wrong. I mean, you're just wrong, man. You're gonna. I mean, dude, whatever. All right. So I sing to my kid. What do you want me to do? Anyway, just contributing to the fucking corner. I really got nothing to say this week, so I guess we'll yak at you guys next week.
There we go. Oh, that's great. I think we should auto-tune some of Kevin's calls to make it the intro jingle to Kevin's Corner.
That's such a pretty good idea.
Are you guys 100% on that you're going to be getting a New Vegas?
No, I'm not 100% on it. I was actually very, very close to not really being into it at all. I mean, just I had so much fucking Fallout before, you know. But... I wish I could figure out exactly what it was recently that kind of started to take me the other direction.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I mentioned that to you, I think.
I don't remember you talking about it.
Yeah, because we were trying to remember what it was, because I'd watched some video or something someday over lunch. I will tell you that the fact that it's going to be using Steamworks this time, that's nice. I really, really yep. do like that. I look forward to that. This game could have used it. All of the weird speculation and bad history of, you know, Obsidian doing stuff, like, I don't know. I'm not terribly worried about it. I can't exactly conjure what the fuck it was. And I had a pretty good idea about it before. Something had just turned me to the point where I was like, I don't want this. Oh, wait a minute. Look at that.
I just read about nice. The hardcore mode.
Oh, yeah?
Have you heard about that?
No.
In the hardcore mode, as opposed to just, you know, ramping up enemies, you know, health and everything, ammunition itself will have weight. You have to eat and sleep every day. Stim packs heal over time, not instantly. Crippled legs can only be healed by a doctor or a doctor's bag, which requires a high science and medical skill to use. And you're in the desert, so you have to keep yourself hydrated.
That's fine.
I think that's an interesting way of doing a hardcore. You know, hardcore.
Yeah, so. I like the idea. I don't particularly like... Fallout was really bad about the idea of, like, ramping up difficulty meant that things were some... Like, you know, as things got tougher, like, my bullets just wouldn't do as much damage, so a lot of times I would... For really tough enemies, it could get weird. I don't like that sort of thing. I don't like just having to shoot something more often. That's stupid to me.
Yeah.
Like, you know, ninjas are clearly a greater danger to me than lunch ladies, right? But I'm pretty sure that a ninja will die from a bullet to the head the same as a lunch lady, right? Even though the ninja is clearly like a hardcore enemy. That's kind of how I feel about things. I don't mind it doing a shit ton more damage to me, but my bullet is a bullet.
Yeah.
My bullet should always, in my opinion, do the damage it does. So, as long as that thing is ever a part of hardcore modes where things are just like have lots more HP, yeah, fuck it. I don't like that shit.
Yeah.
But whatever. Whatever the hell they decide to do to tune their hardcore mode, if I don't like it, I'll just be able to mod it out. Anything in particular that I don't like. That actually does sound interesting. More like a, you know, like survivalist,
yeah,
kind of thing. Not arbitrarily just
more hard. Health. Yeah, your weapons don't do as much damage and they have more health.
Yeah. It just sounded to me like they were making some minor improvements to kind of how the world functioned. And I don't know. I guess I could see myself maybe going through it.
I saw an interview with one of the lead guys. I'm trying to remember his name, Jason Bergman. And he was saying, you know, obviously it takes place on the West Coast, and the West Coast wouldn't hit by the nukes like, you know, DC was.
Yeah. But, so I mean, a lot of the Strip is still intact.
I mean, that's not necessarily true. The West Coast was hit by the nukes, according to the Fallout universe. You know, because the first Fallout takes place in California. Actually, the first two Fallouts.
Mm-hmm.
And those were definitely hit by...
I mean, he may have just been... Vegas is not on the West Coast.
Yeah.
It's in Nevada, which is a really kind of significant distance from the West Coast. It's
coastless.
Yes, it has a whole mountain range to get past before it goes to another desert and then to the coast. So to say that, like, the coast was... I think he's just trying to say, like, the West wasn't necessarily hit the same way. I don't know how much expanded universe fiction there is in Fallout. There may be none. I have no idea. But if it's a nuclear war, I imagine that there are giant whacks of the middle of the United States that are essentially untouched, you know? That are probably wastelands because of their lack of civilization, but, you know, not scorched earth. So the idea that Vegas, just as Vegas, remains, like, to some degree, you know, unobliterated. Okay.
I mean, from what I remember of, you know, Fallout lore, I do think that, you know, like you said, Vegas wasn't hit, and Hoover Dam, you know, still stands. But I do know that, you know, California was hit and struck.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, you know.
But, like, yeah.
I think when he says that, he's simply saying the way. I think
just that area.
It's a stupid little gaffe, you know, maybe not official fiction or anything like that. Because I think even in 3, they were pretty clear about, in a couple of places, about referencing what had happened out west.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the guys, they didn't pretend that the West was pristine.
The guys that did 3 were very well informed on what happened on the previous game.
Yeah, so when they talk about New Vegas and they say the West Coast, he just means the West. Like, there are areas on the West. I wouldn't...
Yeah, don't worry.
Don't imagine anything about it.
Yeah.
And as a, you know, and Vegas not being hit, that's good. That's an interesting function because it allows them to have that contrast of, like, certain parts of the Strip still being, like, active, you know, fully electrified and interesting, and then there being wasteland out there. And that's actually something you could never get in Fallout. Even the cities were fucking dumps, you know. The best city in the entire place was a goddamn bomb crater, you know.
Yeah.
And that could be, like, sort of depressing. And if you're just talking about the psychology of playing in a wasteland, always having a nice place to go back to, yeah, see the benefit in that. And that's kind of the sort of thing I had in mind with Vegas, is that, like, you got exactly the same type of mechanic here, but you're making some changes to the world. I can maybe get behind that. I still expect it to be a buggy piece of shit, but, you know, whatever. I guess I could go back to something like that, and probably to a place where I might wind up doing that.
I'm definitely going to pick it up.
Yeah, I'm... If I had to jump one or the other right now, I would pick it up.
So I'm really looking forward to playing it. It's funny though because I don't have the same level of excitement about it that I would have for a lot of other sequels.
Yeah.
I'm expecting it to do things that I don't like. I'm expecting to not like I don't know. There's something about the game I'm expecting not to like, but I'm still expecting to have a good time with it.
I understand.
And play it through, you know. So I don't know what it is about the game, but it does give me some sort of vibe that tells me there's going to be... I have nothing to base this on other than my gut. But that's just the expectation I'm going into it with, which may work out really well for me, because a lot of times I go in with that expectation, you know, set kind of low, and the game, like, blows me the fuck away, and I have a fantastic time with it.
Yeah.
So maybe that'll happen. There's every reason to think that it could.
I think they already posted the opening, you know, part by Ron Perlman, but I'm not going
to... I didn't do that. I have to say, like... You know, I mean, talking about both these, that and Bioshock in the same place. I mean, those were two games that had an astonishing sense of place and position and time, mm-hmm. largely because of the music, you know, and like really kind of turned on that. And I mean, I can still, like, I mean, it's a really specific feeling to, like, you know, hearing Three Dog and the soundtrack and mm-hmm. like marching across that landscape. Like, it's really...
And about Butcher Pete.
Yeah, that's a real thing, you know. And like, yeah, just that's very strong. And part of me, I think, balks at the idea that something else is going to come along and try to do that to me. It's like, yeah. No, that's already no. I'm already there with that.
Yeah.
Who the fuck you think you are? And what are you going to try to do? How much of a copy of this are you going to try to be? You know, mm-hmm. because you're in the same universe, using the same engine. It's not wrong for you to be doing this, but what are you going to do? Like, is it going to be, it could be like all fucking show tunes or something? Are you even going to try to weave the same kind of soundscape? They've clearly gone way the fuck past the Fallout 3 budget in terms of voice casting, which is
a
really good idea. So
I think I heard the music's going to be, you know, Rat Pack kind of stuff.
Okay. I mean, it's, you know, there's plenty of music you can draw from out of Vegas. Yeah. Like, and those guys would have plenty, you know, of shit laying around if they never actually got, you know, direct nuked themselves. What bass is out there?
Nellis. And Creech.
Nellis does real close, isn't it?
Yeah, it's right out. It's, yeah.
I remember in Jane's USAF, I used to take off from Nellis and then crash into the strip all the time.
Yeah. It's like Maxwell to Montgomery.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's like right the fuck there, which actually kind of makes me wonder, like, why wouldn't you be nuked? I mean, there's a lot of stuff in Nellis.
Yep.
And there's, like, some spook shit in Nellis, too.
Yeah.
So, whatever, who gives a fuck? It's a video game. I probably will play it now. I'm pretty sure I'll watch. I don't know. It just sounds
an interesting thing to watch happen.
Yeah, it's really good. And like, the more I think about it, the more like
I kept waiting for you to explain, like, you know, your feelings on why you weren't really feeling up to playing this thing. And like, I watched you like literally talk yourself into playing.
Well, no, I'd already been there. Mostly it's fatigue, and I had already said that. Like, I've been here and done this so much. I've talked a lot about like how I couldn't even finish the DLC because it's just, oh my god, I've been here for like 160 hours, you know?
I just finished Mother of Ship Zeta.
Yeah.
Now, the only thing I need to do left is the Enclave.
I couldn't do it. I couldn't go back. I would just go back, and I'm like, I fucking hate everybody here. I hate every fucking person here. Everyone. You know? I hate, like, Moira for not, like, you know, understanding my advances. Like, I hate fucking Three Dog for not going the extra mile to find, you know, some new fucking records. I hate Harold up in the place for wanting to die, you know. I hate my dad for being such a fucking douchebag and, like, running off and then essentially not even getting, hey, thanks for abandoning me and still not getting anything done, fucker. I hate my girlfriend from the thing for being a cunt. Like, what the fuck, bitch? I came back and, like, saved your shit. Your dad was a fucking fascist crazy man, and like,
so I killed him.
And I fuck you. You know, fuck her. Fuck everybody in the thing. Like, fuck them, and like, fucking whatever. Sheriff, what's his fucking name? Because he always had an attitude problem. Fuck the ghouls for being ugly. Fuck all of them. I hated everybody. If I could drop more bombs on the entire place, I would. I think, like, the old lady who gave me the pistol and then played the violin was all right.
Oh, yeah, Agatha.
She was okay.
You know, that's a different radio station to listen to.
Yeah, although it kind of just, you'd be like, Jesus Christ, as if I didn't, like, feel kind of alone enough. Yeah. Like, oh, man.
They're saying in New Vegas, you could.
Hey, everybody, you follow. It's like Liberty City.
Yeah. In a New Vegas, out of all the, like, you know, over 22,000 people, you could kill everybody but one person.
Yeah.
So that's almost like
I don't
a
know
challenge.
That that's necessarily something to brag about. Because that shit happened all the time in Fallout 3, and then you realize, hey, you fucked yourself out of about 50 quests.
Yeah.
And three unique weapons.
I think
and a whole interesting storyline.
This one person is, you know, because you won't be able to finish the game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure of it, but my point is, like, I guess it is a good thing, but at the same time, it's like, what you really just told me is that I can essentially fuck myself in a lot of interesting ways in your game.
Yeah.
That's how you should have said it.
And
because there will get to be a point in time, I'm sure, when I hate your people just as much as I hate the people in the Capital Wasteland, and I kill everybody.
So you could actually go through and play without killing anybody.
I can see why that'd be a problem also. For you.
Yes. Well, fucking, they fuck with you so much. These people just won't shut up and do what I say. They would just do what I say and stop giving me shit. Like, everything would be cool. But they don't. They run their fucking mouths, and then they all need some fucking shit from 8 miles the other ass into fucking hell, bring it back just so she'll like, fix my gun or something. You know? Like, whatever. Fuck you. I'll shoot you and take your shit. Like, real easy to get angry at these people, dude.
I like the lady that was hopped up on the Nuka-Cola Quantum, making you go out and get all her stuff, and she had her little protector guy.
Oh, that was her protector guy.
Yeah, there's a guy that was also in the town. That
so the other guy, he wouldn't protect her, man. He wouldn't fuck her.
Well, yeah, but he's, you know, he's looking after her. He's the one that, you know.
Clearly, you don't understand what a relationship like that is like, my friend. He wasn't trying to protect her. He was trying to, you know, he was walling his garden, so to speak. Like, that's all he wanted, dude. Like, that's the only thing he wanted. So then I shot him and I took his shotgun because it was a good shotgun. What the fuck? That bitch was crazy, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Do you know why? Because she was in the game. They're all like that.
You know, you say you like Jeremy, you know, you say you like GTA 3 just for the fact that your main character had no voice.
The silent protagonist.
The silent protagonist.
Something I dig a lot of times.
I want somebody to make a game and just instill James's persona into that main character. His voice, his thought process, his actions,
his hatred,
his whole thing in there.
I mean, I don't always hate everyone. I mean,
you
don't.
You don't. That's what I'm saying. I mean, it doesn't.
It's just an awful lot of fun when you do.
Yeah. But, I mean, God, dude.
But put it all in there.
I played the same game. I mean, fuck those people.
And without control, you just shoot whatever. If that's the way the dice roll,
I mean,
your character shoots the person in the face.
Yeah, but you know, I can't do that. Like, you know, that's impossible. Regardless of what they say, I don't believe them, because the same kind. I mean, your game isn't that different from Fallout 3. If somebody starts giving me shit and I decide to, like, you know, I don't know, like, pull my steel on them, all of a sudden every fucker in the whole town's gonna do it, and I fucked myself out of anything I could ever do in that town. That's the way they get you. That's what makes me mad. Dealing with the individual asshole was like, whatever. The fact that you claim I can do something interesting about it, but I really can't. Not without going hostile with the whole fucking place.
Yeah.
And then, like, every merchant with an interesting set of wares bugs out and goes and crouches in a fucking corner somewhere or pulls a gun on me.
Yeah.
And I'm forced to, you know, commit
mass
fucking
homicide.
Genocide. Yeah, it's like, I mean, that sucks, you know. So, whatever. It's just it's the kind of frustration that's borne out from, like, you feel like you're constantly bumping your head up against, like, this upper limit of the capability of the game. when it claims to offer you a lot of choice and variation.
I don't know if I'm looking too much into this, but if he says that you could kill all but one character, does that mean they'll have kids in there that you can kill the kids? Because you couldn't kill the kids in Fallout 3.
Probably means it won't have kids in there.
I just think he's discounting the kids. Okay. I think he's not worrying about the kids. Because they dealt with that with 3. Like, because they came up, and they were talking about it in reference to...
I remember originally it was like, children, that you could eat. Yeah. When you were doing the cannibal.
And they talked in great length about the decisions they made carrying that into 3. I think that stuff's just going to stand. I think they're probably just assuming that the argument's already been made. But then again, it is Vegas. I don't know. Yeah, I think I've talked to myself. And I mean, not like I hated it when I came into the conversation. I think I'm willing to give it a go. Also, it's at a good time. Mm-hmm. It's not like there's 100,000 other things coming out.
Hey, what month is that?
What is that?
October.
Is it October?
October.
It's what, like middle October? There's kind of actually...
There's a lot of stuff in October.
September's a little weak. October is not weak.
Yeah, September for me is going to be Dead Rising 2. And that's at the end of it.
No fucking way. No fucking way with Dead Rising 2. Fuck them. Yep. Don't trust them sons of bitches from here to the next generation.
I pulled that shit out of my Gamefly queue, man. There's too much other shit I want to play.
Fallout New Vegas comes out the same day that Enslaved comes out.
Enslaved? That can't be right. Enslaved said it came out the 5th.
Oh, was it October 5th?
That's what the thing said.
Oh, okay. Well, October 19th.
Yeah.
For Fallout.
Enslaved I'm looking forward to. Just because, the requisite, sort of annual burden of playing through Halo. You may like it. I'm not saying it's... I don't know. It's fucking Halo.
Yeah.
And co-op our way through some Halo and then be done with it. And I'm sure it'll be fun. But
it usually is.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to have to blockbuster that. It's not going to be a purchase.
Oh, God, no. No, man. No, not at all. I won't buy Enslaved either, but it looks interesting. I went for something I didn't give a shit about, previously to something that actually looks kind of fun now.
When's Assassin's Creed Brotherhood? Is that this year?
I don't care, actually. I have no idea because I don't care.
Whatever. You know you're going to play it.
I saw a picture.
Out of obligation.
Yes. I saw a picture of the creepy...
Just not
going
to be happy about it.
Yes.
The creepy Jack in the Box?
Yes.
Do not like.
I haven't seen anything.
This is a really strange... It's going to be a strange third and fourth quarter this calendar year. It's kind of weak, in my opinion. I mean, there's some stuff, but,
It comes out like the same day that Assassin's Creed 2 came out, November 16th.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of obligations that we have to make. I mean, there's Halo and then the Assassin's Creed thing.
I expect to have fun with Halo. The thing about Assassin's Creed is I don't expect to have any fun with Halo.
Yeah, I guess I could agree with you on that. But then there's also... there's actually a lot of obligation. I'm going to play the Medal of Honor single-player thing. See what the hell those guys have to say for themselves.
Yep.
Although I'm... Oh, man, it really looks like they're full of shit about their own game. A lot.
You don't feel this way, but Metroid is a bit of an obligation for me.
Yeah, I can understand that. Call of Duty.
Yep.
As always, I'll play the single player.
Are you going to do Force Unleashed 2?
Yeah.
Oh, not at all.
I am.
No chance in hell. Probably. I can't remember a time when I was more just like on the brink of tears frustrated with a game for just being broken and fucked up. So, unless I hear from somebody that it's actually a really, really great experience, I don't know that I'll bother.
Tron Evolution.
Yeah. That one's kind of
interesting. I'll go see that movie.
the game, I'm playing out of obligation.
I enjoyed 2.0 a lot.
No, you don't get to do that. This is a game. This is a movie game. This is not 2.0. 2.0 was a fucking masterstroke.
You don't talk to me about like
2.0 was good, so I'm loving Evolution. Man, I've still got like the standee for 2.0.
That shit was solid as a
motherfucker. Like, I hung on to that shit when I threw all the other stuff out. I love 2.0.
Yeah.
This is a
movie. Evolution isn't going to be totally anything different thing. Like that. You can be lucky if it's half the game 2.0 was.
Yeah. Think about actually going and driving up to Atlanta to see the movie in the IMAX.
It would be fun. I think I'll get as much out of it in
regular.
Regular old whatever. But, you know, your mileage will probably vary greatly.
Epic Mickey, obligation.
Kirby in October.
Mm. That's not obligation.
That looks really good. No, I didn't mean to throw it in there.
I know. I could tell by your tone thing. You weren't. I was just adding to it.
That'll be an actual, that'll be genuinely fun thing. What's the date on that?
It's October 26th.
Fable 3?
Yeah.
Still haven't beaten Fable 2, so.
Spider-Man I'm interested in. Enslaved I'm excited about.
I have Fable 2, I haven't played it yet.
Yeah. I owe it to the game to go back.
The wife will play Fable 3, so I don't have to.
Yeah. Hey, man, where are you at on this? I'm very interested in this, largely because of you.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you probably haven't heard, but and this was you want to talk about like kind of a sad sort of kind of uncomfortable analysis.
It's not going to bother RJ in the least. He'll be perfect. No. This is what's going to happen. He'll be like, "Oh yeah, I'll play it. No problem."
Like, they announced Mass Effect 2.
Put this other stuff, and he'll be like, "I don't care."
For the PS3.
Mm-hmm.
Now here's the thing: Mass Effect 1 is not on the PS3. It is not going to be on the PS3. The peculiarity of the Mass Effect franchise is the first game was published by Microsoft on the consoles right at or after its release. It was BioWare was bought by EA.
BioWare somehow retained the rights to Mass Effect.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But not the publishing rights to the first game.
Now, Microsoft did not publish the Mass Effect port on the PC, which came much later. It actually came significantly after. It was like months, I think. Right. Yeah. It was in the end of the next year before the
game
PC
was in November, and then I believe PC it was version came out February, March.
Yeah, it came out after the acquisition, so that was kind of a weird thing. But 2 was published entirely by EA, and there's just always been a little bit of question of like, well, now that EA has, how come this wasn't on PS3? You know, like what's the problem here? So they announced like a couple days ago that Mass Effect 2 was going to be coming out for the PS3
this February.
Like that's really very cool. The problem is Mass Effect 2 is the kind of game, in the opinion of anybody that's played it, that you simply cannot play without the first game.
That's the first thought in my mind. But Choke A2's here. What about 1?
And we all know the simple reality is that you're not going to see 1. And they have said, I believe yesterday or today at Gamescom, that they intend to create some kind of introduction that summarizes the events and the theoretical experiences of 1.
That's not the same.
No, it isn't. It isn't the same, of course. The problem is, none of us. I guess Scott kind of could, but he did play 1. None of us are capable of playing Mass Effect 2
on the PS3.
On the PS3 without having played 1.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, you're we can only guess at what it would be like to come at 2 with no knowledge of 1. And I think that you would love the game. The game is...
I'll burn a rental in my GameFly queue just so that you can experience that. So
and here's the thing.
I just want to see how it comes across.
They're perfectly aware of the decision they're making. They are perfectly aware of how dependent 2 is on 1. So when they say they're doing something to change the introduction, I believe them.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that, they say that they're adding in a significant, whatever the hell that means, portion of the existing DLC. So, and the game itself is just fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got its problems, but whatever. You've heard us say plenty about it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I would really, I think a lot of people would actually value your opinion on what that's like. playing it without having played one.
No experience in one, but playing two.
But playing two.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
most of us, actually, most anybody who's interested in playing two, it would never occur to somebody to play two without playing one. So you would just go get one and play through it and then import your guy and do all the stuff. And I am extremely interested to know what it's like from someone who never had or could have played the first one.
Mm. I wonder if they're going to do like Shenmue 2 did on the Xbox, where they just have like the DVD of the movie of the first Shenmue, just to, you know, give you an idea. Like, all right, this is what happened with the first guy.
Maybe. I mean, they could do a recap, something like that. My guess is that they're going to try to do something a little more inventive, a little more less passive, more active. You know what I mean? I don't know how that works, because the introduction to 2 was very specific. I'm extremely curious about it. I don't envy them the task of like doing this, because it's just kind of weird. It's like, hey, we got a big Mass Effect announcement, and everybody wanted 3.
Yeah.
And it's like 2 on PS3, and we're like, oh. How the fuck?
Did any of you guys ever play 2 without importing your Mass Effect 1 character?
Why the fuck would I do that?
Exactly. Same here.
What's wrong with you?
I did it.
You did?
It doesn't really matter, my point, but I did it.
Okay.
What's your question?
Just wondering, like, you know, because a lot of the stuff is referenced, you know, stuff that you did.
Well,
I wonder if they'll go from that.
There's a default series of...
They'll take that action of just straight up new Shepard. As opposed to...
But that's already in the game, yeah. I mean, there is a default of, like, did you not play the first game? Okay, here's what happened. Here's what your universe is like. It's actually not a very desirable universe, in my opinion. But, yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. And I'd be really interested to hear your opinions, both on the game and on the experience. Because the whole thing is just, like, fucking, like, flogging the first game storyline. That's all it is. So even giving you a recap, it's going to be like...
Yeah, there's things that are...
But why do I give a shit?
Very heavily informed by the first game. Mm-hmm. There's also a lot of very subtle things that are informed by the first game. And there's lots of shit that only happens if you import your stuff from the first game. So...
I'm extremely, extremely curious. And I know why they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Because 3 is going to be a big fucking deal. All capital letters. Mm-hmm. And they want you guys out on it. And doing this, doing it as early as they are, well, they could be doing it earlier, but it kind of makes me think that they want to do day and date with the PS3 version of 3. I'm for sure that's what they have in mind, which is great. But yeah, come February, I hope you have time to fit it in your schedule.
Yeah, but what you were saying about having so many subtle things, so many little things missing that I'm not going to experience at all, that's going to be, and I've heard enough from friends outside of our group here, and you talking about it, there's just going to be so many things that I'm going to be missing, and that's going to be in the back of my mind.
Yeah.
when February comes around, I'm like,
yeah,
why is he talking about this? Oh, I probably know it if I played the first one, but I didn't.
Yeah.
And that's going to irritate the hell out of me.
Well, and there are certain things you'll never be able to appreciate. Like,
yeah.
I mean, they actually didn't do a terrible job of providing context and doing callbacks in a subtle way, like Jeremy said. But there are some things, like the change in characterization with Garrus, with Tali, those two in particular, really grew as characters. They changed them a lot. They were kind of...
So the characters that were only in 2 briefly, like Liara.
Or Liara, yeah. Like, she... like Liara and Tali were almost infantile in certain ways, and kind of not all that likable. It's sort of in kind of an innocent, aren't you cute kind of way. But to see them actually grow and harden a little bit as characters in 2 was very interesting. I was like, now I really like you. Garrus was that way too. He was a real conflicted and kind of strange character in 1.
By the time you get to 2, he is no longer conflicted.
He's likable for it.
Yeah.
And then some things that were just nice to see, like Rex.
My playthrough of 1.
Or your girlfriend or boyfriend, as the case may be, from the first one. That was a thing, too.
It had been such a while from my playthrough of 1 to playing 2. Some of the minor... people, you know, that you just stumble upon, like, had to, like, who is that again, and how did I affect their life, and, You know, oh, the guy came up to you like, oh, thanks for, you know, going up to CSEC and tell him to let me get my wife back. I'm like, I did that? Yeah, no problem, buddy.
Absolutely.
You are again.
I'm who? Commander Shepard, and you are my favorite side quest. Oh, look, 3 hours. We should go.